Welcome to the special board meeting, Branch Marietta Community Service District, for March 27th, 2 p.m. If we can determine a quorum, a roll call, please.
President Beebe?
Here.
Director Pohl?
Here.
Director Dinko?
Here.
Director Butler?
Here.
Director Booth?
Present.
Item number two is adopt an agenda. I make a motion to adopt the agenda as written. If I could have a second.
I'll second.
Roll call, President Beebe?
Aye.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
Director Dinko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Item three, I just want to make sure everybody from the board has seen the two correspondence letters. One from Mr. Merchant, one from Mr. Brown. I've not made contact with either of the residents. At this time, I don't know if any other board members have.
I haven't seen either.
Okay, they were all in the emails, so I will get a copy to the board.
It was posted in the board packet as well.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
Nor have I.
Okay, so it appears we need the packet, and then the letters will follow. Item number four, comments from the public. For this special meeting, members of the public may only comment on items specifically agendized, just because it's a special board meeting. So if anyone wishes to comment, if it's an agendized item, you can wait until that specific item's here. Otherwise, if you have public comments on the overall budget process, we're available. Not seeing, hearing anybody. We'll move on. Item number five, March
14th.
I have it as, item number five, the March 2nd communications meetings, corrections for items four and five. If I'm not mistaken, staff went back and changed those concerns.
I gave it to Amelia and I gave it to Michael.
Right, yeah, right. We see that.
Okay. What?
I have a different agenda.
Item number six, which is review fiscal year 2023-2024 draft budget. There's numerous items in this. Item A is the presentation, authorization to staff to mail out the Prop 218 notice for water utility rate increase. Item C is staff to mail out Prop 218 for sewer. Item D is staff to mail out proposed solid waste utility rate increase. And then item E, which is schedule budget hearing for May 17, 2023. So I'll turn it over to you, Michael, for item 6A, please.
Okay, we have a, Russ Branson here, a consultant that we utilize to project what we're going to be looking at for this next fiscal year. Russ, are you ready to give that presentation?
Yeah, you want me to just share it from my screen and everybody will see it?
Sure.
Are you? Okay. Okay, let me start the slideshow. Okay, can you see the screen? Branch Marietta CSD,
yes.
Forecast? Okay, great. So just a brief introduction. I'm Russ Branson. I'm the founder of Russ Branson Consulting. I have been doing some work with the Poon Group on some past, helping get some of the past audits in shape and just working on some specific labor parts of that. primarily what I do in my own consulting practice is budget forecasts, budget development, kind of, you know, workforce issues and analysis, organizational analysis, things of that nature. I formerly was the finance director, left as assistant city manager for City of Roseville. And so we had water, wastewater, solid waste, electric, utilities, so very involved in all those. And our water is currently a client of mine. We've had other water, wastewater clients, probably the biggest one would be Miguel down in Southern California. So anyway, so I've been very experienced both in like the consulting side. I've done consulting for about 18 years as the City of Roseville, about 14 years with budgetary stuff and working with all kinds of different agencies, including water and wastewater agencies. And that, you know, CSDs are a little, you know, I've done some, I did a homeowners association at Tahoe Donner. So I've done a lot of different kinds of agencies as well. But what I'm going to be talking about today, what I was asked to do, is to identify the budgetary needs for Rancho Mineta's three different service areas in fiscal year 24. So primarily focusing on water, wastewater, and solid waste, which are all subject to Prop 218 notices. Have not, you know, or don't, won't talk about in this analysis any forecast for security or drainage, which have separate, you know, separate different rate issues for this coming year. So in that, I'm estimating rate increases needed to meet the district's both your operating needs as well as some near-term, I'll say capital needs and more study needs that are coming up in the near term. And I'll talk about some of the specifics more broadly, and then I'll talk about each of the each of these utilities as we go through. But the, I think that, as I understand, the goal is to provide the board information to make some final rate funding decisions for fiscal year 24 so you can put out your Prop 218 notices. So issues impacting the FY24 forecast. This isn't, you know, there's a lot of things that have been going on with the district. For example, your last audit was done for the fiscal year of 2019-2020, so you're 2 years behind in your audits, and you're, you know, coming on needing another audit after June 30th of this year. So fund balance are estimated that we, when I looked at my things in terms of, you know, what monies you have based on the 2020 audit. And then, you know, the, as I talked about being having a subcontract with the Poon Group, your accounting over the last 2 years is currently being reviewed and confirmed, and we're, I know that the audit process for FY21 is in place. So that's, you know, it's just a finding that's not where you want to be at this point, but that's where you are. You've had significant turnover of finance staff, and I know there's a process of rebuilding the knowledge base, and that's part of what the Coon Group is helping to do, as well as what you had your staff members engaged in. And then one of the things this is a bridge to, right, that you'll have rate studies, part of the study we're at, you know, I'm showing is in the operating revenues overall, rate studies to look at, take a long-term look at operating and capital needs. So do a five-year CIP and rate pay plan that will really look in depth at what your needs for rates are. So what we're talking about here is, you know, an interim step for just next year and not that longer-term look. And so this forecast, you know, we're trying to do something as you can, you know, to, as a bridge to complete your five-year rate studies, complete financial audits, improve accounting practices, improve accounting, you know, your accounting and budgeting tasks, just the whole process of putting all those things together. And the other thing that's needed is implementation of a new ERP system that's specifically designed for government agencies to better track your accounting and budgeting process as you go through as well. So there's a lot going on and a lot of uncertainty right now in the district. So I it's just helpful for me to go, you know, and just remind you, I always say, is this, you know, this right? When I look at the budgets for this year, there's, you know, the way you fund your the services district is when you have administrative costs. Those administrative costs are allocated to all the different services you provide. And then, except for, you know, water, all of the services have some, has had some level of property tax support from the board to make them whole, right, to fund everything needed for those services. As we go through for FY24, the initial assumption is going to be that, you know, I've not made an assumption that property tax revenues will continue to be allocated, although you may in fact allocate property tax revenue. But as we look at rate revenues, that's going to be one of the kind of initial assumption. So your rates are going to be higher than you might expect initially because we're taking out historical property tax funding. This is just, you know, you have a lot going on in terms of, you know, looking at how you spend your money, right? I say 43% are for personnel, but most of the admin is personnel, so it's really, you know, more than that. Closer to probably 63% or so is people. So people are the primary investment that you have. Another big piece is a solid waste contract, and that's in professional services, and that with California Water Resource Services or California Waste Resource Services is also another big piece of what's provided, and you're kind of paying for people on the other side. Maintenance and repairs, utilities, material supplies make up the rest. So that's kind of just a broad overview as you budget where all that money is going. And then I want to just talk a little bit about a forecast. This is just a one-year forecast, right, just for FY24, but it is a forecast of where things might be going. Yeah, salaries based on agreements with the labor groups. You have step increases and other things going on there. There's an 8.5% increase for salaries. Benefits are assumed to go up about 4%, primarily for health premiums. You pay in Kaiser. That has had a lower increase than other premiums this year, but that's your, you know, what you pay for employees based on the Kaiser premium. So assume that's a lower rate than you may have for some other health premium plans. Pension, base this on what's in the first actuarial, so to pay both the normal cost and then funded liability, so that matches that. Again, we talked about administration is allocated to different funds. It's based on a third-party cost allocation plan percentages that you had done here, I believe, in the past year or so. And then all of the expenses are increasing 3 to 4.4%, right, based on the belief of where they go. But that's the lowest, smallest part of the budget. The revenue
It's not up yet, Russ.
We're trying to fix your...
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. you should be seeing revenue forecast. Okay. So a couple of key things on a revenue forecast. One is that the property tax is not assumed to be in, you know, funding the different services, and will be reserved for capital contributions or whatever, wherever the board wants to put it. And so the, you know, so that's a, and we'll talk about this as we get to each one of these, the fact that it's, we don't have property tax revenues in there. And rate revenues are forecast based on the need to fund all operating services. So we're calculating this on, hey, you have your this year's rate revenues, you have other revenues, which are a small piece, and there's different escalating, you know, kind of escalation factors up to 4%. But they're fairly small percentage of your total revenues. And then we calculate the rate revenues based on here's what your, you know, your native revenue is, here's what your expenses are, here's native revenue without property tax, here's your expenses, and what's the rate revenue you need, you know, rate increase you need. So let's get into these. This is overall. So what we have on water rates, and we'll show this, is a need for a 10.6% increase. That includes operations plus this CFD five-year rate study, which is a water master plan, no property tax support. Wastewater rates, 17%. And that's, again, but the only operations and no property tax support. Solid waste, this is a combination of no property tax support, and there's an increased cost of, on the CWRS contract, the 4.4% of that contract based on the formulas they use. And then Sacramento County Landfill is also in there at a higher amount than it's been. Again, no property tax support. So let's start with the water operations. And probably the easiest way here is if you have questions or need clarifications, especially as we go utility by utility, might be easiest to just stop and ask. So we talked about this, the water operating revenues, the current budget revenue is $2,905,000. This is slightly higher, it's at FY24 because we did have little escalations on those other revenues, but pretty de minimis. On the expense side, you have $2.8 million of operating expense, and then we're adding in the five-year rate study and the water master plan as studies that oftentimes are funded out of operations rather than capital. Now, the thing to note here, you'll see this on water as well, there's a difference in the allocation of staff between water and wastewater that's represented here, which is a 50-50 split of staff between water and wastewater. What that does is actually lowers operating expenses for your water utility in 24, but it will increase operating expenses for wastewater next year. So that's where you see you have operating revenues that actually exceed your operating expenses, but when you add in the studies, that that bumps that up to 10.6%. Again, no property tax is here, and you could, you know, again, if you want to reduce the increase from 10.6%, you can, two things you can do here. One is you can put some property tax in. The other thing on this one specifically, you could say have the portions or all of the water master plan and five-year rate study funded out of reserves or funded through property tax. And so the graph just kind of shows the rate increase relative to the total rates now. And then we have operating expenses and the two studies on top of that. So it's a fairly, you know, it's a fairly simple model. It's looking at your current revenues, your forecast expenses plus the studies, and calculating back into the rate increase for that. That's a 10.6% increase. Any questions on water before I move on? Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Nope. Please continue.
What?
Oh, go ahead.
You know, I have a question.
Yeah.
If I,
go ahead, Steve.
If I understand the upper right graph correctly, if I look at operating revenues at $2.9 million and operating expenses at about $2.8 million, if I were to back the study and the master plan out of expenses, I would have enough revenue to operate water in the next fiscal year. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct. And it's based on a 50-50 split of the operation staff for water and wastewater, and a split equally. It does get, actually, the way they're, the way you account for them is as a single unit, and then they get split out. But yes, that's correct.
Is there some place where the unexpected water issues that come up about once a week are funded from?
That's contingency.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, and I'll say that specifically. But you do it.
There's some contingency.
Yeah, you have these two studies also that are in here.
It's not on here.
And what this does is it shifts.
No, it's a detail.
Yeah, it's not broken out, right? But it does. You do have that shift of the studies into operations, and that does allow more of your reserves revenue to be used for any kind of crises as they come up.
We are going to use those reserves for a lot of things, aren't we?
Is the contingency just a percentage of the operating expenses?
Did you hear the question, Russ?
Yeah, I think in terms of how I look, what I've done is I took your 2023 budget and escalated it. And I have to look. I don't remember seeing a specific contingency level. I did not add one, so.
I believe it's around 5 to 7%.
So that would make it $135,000 plus or less.
Cover would cover something similar to the valve replacement that we have to do.
But if we had two, it wouldn't.
Right.
Well, and is that factored into the $2.8 million operating expenses for next year?
The contingency is.
Okay. Yes, that would be a line item in the budget.
Yeah, in the budget, pull money out of reserves.
Okay, moving on to wastewater, and this shows a rate increase of 17%, and a couple of different things going on here. One, as I mentioned before, this new split of staff for water wastewater operations on a 50-50 basis, creates room in water, shifts more cost to wastewater. And so you don't see any steady funding here. And if you did, it would increase it, to fund their a share of the CIP rate increase, five-year rate study, would increase this by about 12%. They need closer to 30% total rate increase. And so I backed that out, here, so you could add it in, but you wanted to go that high. I'm thinking 17% is already really high. So again, you have, the revenue is much less than the operating expenses, so that rate increase of 17% is what's needed to bridge that gap unless you allocate property taxes to support operations. And actually, if this has a kind of implicit assumption that the wastewater portion of the five-year rate study on CIP will come out of reserves. Okay, so solid waste is, you have a couple things going on here. One is the operating revenues, and then are what was for this year. The expenses assume that 4.4% increase on the CWRS contract, and plus some increases on some of the other expenses, although that's the primary expense. And then you have in the past this year, right, are have subsidized services with property taxes. This does not include that. So that increases that as well. The other piece here is the county, the county solid waste operations costs. We're assuming at the max in this as well. So that's about 20,000 more than it was in this year. So again, that puts you at a 19.2% increase to fund all of that without any property tax support.
So I have a question. In the current fiscal year, how much property tax revenue are we using to subsidize solid waste?
It's about $110,000. Hold on, I'm going to check quickly.
What's our total property tax revenue? 750,000?
75.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the waste, the increase from CWR is about 43,000, and then there's a small increase from the, as we mentioned, the county landfill. So then because these rate increases are high, and there's likelihood that the board will want to consider using some of the property tax, we have both kind of the value of the 1% here for each of the utilities, and then what is that on a 5% basis. And I updated some of the costs. I don't know what you have before you. This is the latest and most accurate in terms of those 1% values. And so that, just as a way of looking at it. So the property tax forecast, approximately $800,000. You won't know exactly until the fall what your property taxes are, but that assumes a fairly conservative increase. And you're going to get the least the minimum 2% 2% cost from Prop 13, and then any turnover that adds up to that, and whatever, if there are any new houses built this year or as of January, they'll come on there as well. So I think 800,000 is a fairly conservative forecast for property taxes. So somewhere in that range. So that is the presentation. I'd be happy to go back and answer more questions or engage in this more deeply as you wish.
I understand. Any questions of board members at this point? Martin?
Have you tried to summarize all three of these categories as to what the overall increase is?
So is the question, what's the total increase with these three?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on a second. The overall average increase is 11%. Water is a big.
If you took the sum of all the increases and divided by the previous revenues.
Yeah, I took the current revenues for each and then divided it by the rate increase revenues to get that run, and we give it 10.8%. So.
Really?
I just need a refresher course. I thought you said in the beginning that there were 3 years that didn't have audit reports. I thought there was only two.
So yeah, there's 2021 and 2022, and you say you're coming out.
22 and 23.
you'll hit 23, but that is not due yet, so you're behind on 2 years.
Okay. Well, actually, didn't we
work on 21, right?
I thought we just turned it in.
That's right. We turned in part of it in 24.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's a concerted effort to get those up to there.
I have a question. That 10.8%, what's the equivalent dollar value for that overall if we were to aggregate the increase revenue? I'm sorry?
$803,000 for all the rate increase revenue we have in here.
It up to the public. Come on up if you have questions on the presentation. Yes, ma'am. And again, you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay, this will be brief. I just have a couple questions. The Prop 218, can you tell me why we're sending out 3 mailers? Won't that increase the cost? That's one question. And then the other question that I have, if you have 10.6 water rate increase and then 17% of the wastewater and then 19.2% solid waste, it doesn't seem like that would add up to 11% increase if you combine them all together. Am I, is there, does water have a lot larger percentage? Is,
yeah, it has a much larger share of the total revenues.
So that's why it doesn't figure out.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay. Why. Yeah, so it's a, yeah, the 11 to 10 is a weighted average.
Okay, it's so
but
that.
I agree. I'm looking at the numbers, they're accurate, but it sounds lower. I expect it as well.
Right. Okay, good. Well, so my only question is I'm just wondering why we're going to send out 3 mailers on Prop 218.
I understand. Thank you, ma'am. Michael?
I can address the reason. The reason behind the 3 separate mailers is because we don't know what the specific rates are going to be for each individual one. We will be sending them all in the same envelope, so it will be going in one envelope to each address. But we do have, depending on what the board decides, we do have separate tables ready to go, and so we just don't have those numbers yet, and as soon as we have them, we'll send them to the printer and get them out.
Yes, sir.
I'll just stand it.
Don't come on up.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The question is, with the 3 mailers, are we to assume that requires 3 protest signatures?
I believe
or
so,
or a single?
Yes.
A protest for each service.
I understand the question.
Anybody?
I believe it's one per... One protest.
So 3.
Yeah.
It's going to require 3 signatures. Why?
Well, because they're separate 218 processes.
I understand that, but why? It's another log jam that's being thrown up for, that's how I see it. It's just a log in our neck. Second, F4 of the grand jury report says that you guys are not supposed to try to increase, if the recommendation was not to do that. And it must take a lot of bowling equipment without the shoes to proceed under a grand jury investigation and a recommendation to go ahead and do it anyway.
So I assume then you read the grand jury report.
Okay.
And so...
F4 says that.
Yes. And so that was the finding. And so when you start going to the recommendations... they also said that we need $10 million in reserve. They also stated that we should raise our taxes because they're too low. They also stated that we should not subsidize Measure J, the security
part. I totally understand
so,
that.
So as we work through this, all of their recommendations are already in process. At the end of the day, you saw needs of the district. Costs have gone up. Do we have our fiscal house in order? I would say not. I think that you've heard from staff that we've turned over one of the audits to the auditor, and we have a representative from the Poon Group that can talk about it. We're working on the second audit as we speak, prepping it with anticipation before this calendar year is out, that it's going to go to the auditor for its findings. I'd be willing to bet that we're going to find material issues with those audits that are going to continue us to move it forward. So one can make the assumption that cost is not impacting the district, therefore we shouldn't have a single rate increase. I don't necessarily believe that. I think that we are like any other governmental agency. Inflation has hit us, and that's what the gentleman up there kind of put those factors into place. So with that said, that's all I have as far as your comment on R4, unless another board member would like to.
I'd like to comment on the three separate 218 notices. As the newest member of this board, I was appointed in December. I have been asking that we be able, as we move forward and get our financial house in order, to identify specifically what our revenues and expenditures are and our reserve accounts for each of our service areas. And this is a step towards doing that so that as we move forward, we're actually dealing with real-time data and what the real income and costs are. And it allows us to target rate increases into the specific areas with full disclosure to the community. Hey, this is how much more it's costing us to treat potable water. This is how much more the solid waste. And by separating those three, I think it puts us in a much more accountable position to the community with regard to each of our funds.
It is a much more accountable position. I will agree, but it's minuscule. You have no idea your financial position. Very little.
Well, I don't disagree with that premise at all today.
Well,
but
that's what I'm
as
saying.
We move forward, we're going to correct that.
You're putting forth an increase to the public.
Well, that's a different issue than why
It's
a different issue than why three separate notices.
My other question is why are you ignoring the F4 grand jury?
I think Mr. Mayberry.
He explained that, but what he mentioned to me, the issues were mutually exclusive. The recommendation directly states tax and fees. It doesn't say in lieu of J this or any of the rest of it. So, you know, to me, that's a moot point. You have a grand jury telling you to do something because you're under investigation for lack of trust. And here you go, ignoring, just tossing aside, disregarding a grand jury recommendation not to increase anything until you get your house in order. So
the outcome of those three issues are yet to be seen.
The
board has not yet addressed those 218 notices. So the outcome of that is yet to be decided here this afternoon.
That's my two cents.
Appreciate it.
And if you think the public is going to stand for an increase again, we're going to go through the same thing we went through last year. And if you want to subject your staff to having to put up with three times the form letters in a protest and account for them, and probably have, I would suggest, since the protest members are smarter than they were last year, they're going to ask for an accountability of a person present when the count's taken. So all this is going to come about because you want to, why don't you wait until you get your five-year rate increase, which is supposed to come up, end of the year? You get your first financial document from, what is it, 2021? And you get a bigger picture of your tangible assets and where you stand financially. And then maybe a midterm Prop 19 increase or something. Wouldn't that be a better solution than coming out right now? You know what's going to happen. You know it. It's plastered across next door what's going to happen. So that's my two cents.
Thank you. Mr. Sullivan?
John Sullivan, 7075 Via Rovia. Did he leave? Because he looks like a musician.
He's trying to get back in.
Is there enough data that you have that you can answer a couple of quick questions?
Let us have the questions.
So the water usage rate was 217 currently. That was what was held from the year prior.
Right.
Are you adjusting that and the base rate an equal amount in percentage, or are you moving the water rate and not adjusting the base rate as much? The reason I ask is because, you know, when we have the water and sewer base rates on people who have very, very low usage, apartments, condos, village, blah, 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 the base rate is a bigger burden, just FYI.
All right.
So I would like to get that answer.
I believe the assumption was the base rate.
That's what's going to get adjusted?
Yeah.
Not the...
I mean, that's up... That's also...
Not the rate per...
Correct.
And so is there any adjustment to the reserve contributions via water, sewer, and is there a drainage one too?
Well, that's a set one.
Yeah, that's...
That's
in the other tab.
Yeah, okay. That's a 2% automatic on that one.
So we're assuming 2% on roughly 2 million, and then we're assuming 11% on 6 million, or thereabouts, roughly.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite 6 million.
It's real close.
So when it's melded, when you add the 2% on the 2 million and then the 11% on the 6 million, what's the melded rate? Does it get under 10?
We have I'm sorry, out. Russ is back. my computer froze up on me.
Jim, I think the 6 million includes the increase.
Could you show us those increases again? You bring that.
Russ, can you bring up the...
Can you bring up the water and wastewater slides, please, Russ?
Yes. Hold on one sec. Again, my computer froze. Everything comes back slowly. It's open now. Hold on. You'll see it when I see it here.
You see your dance.
John, can you repeat your question for us, please? Could you repeat your question for us?
Yes. The assumption, the water usage rate, the current rate is 217 CCF, and the base rate on water is, I think it's 3873. And the reserves are $14. Are we adjusting them proportional to the increase, or are we loading them on one of the three more than the other at this point?
That's a good question, because this is not a rate study. I mean, this is just a budgetary need. So I looked at a 10.6 overall, and how you load that up is a question on that I haven't answered yet.
All right, well.
So you need an overall increase in revenue from rate, so 10.6% on water.
Is it Russ?
Yes.
Just for your edification, if you weren't listening, the base rate disproportionately adjusted, you know, has a bigger impact on low users in the condos and the village. And it is, base rate we have is, when you combine sewer and water, it's getting up there. So, just FYI.
We calculated the monthly amounts. Do you want to share those, Paula?
So the increase based on the percentages that Russ presented in there, it would be a $4.11 increase to the water base charge and a $7.86 increase to the sewer base charge.
That's, if you put nothing on the rate.
That's,
and nothing on usage, correct.
That's if we don't utilize property taxes to subsidize.
And no change to reserve, correct.
No change to reserve.
So I had a question to bring up those numbers. So the, let me finish. The total of all the rate increases is what?
The weighted average is
11%. No. I said, what's the total of all the rate increases?
The total now is $800,000, $803,000.
And what's the denominator for all the operating expenses without a rate increase?
About 7.9 million.
Is it?
Last year was 8.1.
No. You have three categories here. Each one shows the operating expense before increase. What's this total of all those?
Did that answer your
No, I didn't hear the answer. What's the total of all the operating expense?
Total operating expenses are,
including
admin.
It's 7.5. Well, each one of those charts shows an operating revenue.
Yeah, includes admin. Our 6.7 million for these three utilities, not including, you still have other, you have drainage and security as well, but for these three utilities, it's 6.7 million, roughly, just below that.
That's before or after rate increases?
That's before. So the rate increases are to how much money do you need to be able to pay those?
And also, okay, so the numerator is 803,000, and what's the denominator?
Well, the denominator, and I'm just looking, I'm trying to think I'm going to go back. Somebody raised this question. I said I had the same question. Let me go back and say the average, because I had some hidden rows that got put there. The average is actually 14.4%, which makes sense, more sense. It's 5.5 million is the revenue without rate increases. We need to add 800,000 more to get to that 6.7373, and that is the so that's the total. So it gets to $5.6 million current revenue.
So what's the answer?
Well, okay, tell me the question. I'm not sure, Ken, you're saying numerator and denominator, but what are you asking?
So you have 803,000 increase, and the revenue before increase is what, 5.5 million?
Yeah, 5.5 is the current revenue. Yeah, five, or just, so under, and when just you under 5.6.
And when you divide the two, you get what?
You get 14.4%. Okay. I was doing this on the fly. I had some hidden rows that got included in my...
Okay, thank you. That answered my question.
My earlier calculation.
Mr. Gere, I'm sorry. Board was asking some questions.
Please state your name for the record.
John Q. Public.
No, thank you.
It would be Richard Gere.
Yes, thank
continue
you
on.
So is that it? Is that the draft budget? All I heard was take last year's numbers, escalate them. Is that it? I was expecting a lot more than that.
Okay.
Well, I'll say it was just, you know, say in terms of the budget, a big part of it's personnel. So this does it does have a salary and benefit component looking at this year. So for where people are in their steps and, you know, with the increase in labor contracts. And it does include the actual amounts from CalPERS that would be expected this year. So those are big pieces. And then on the other salaries and supplies, it's more of an increase from this year's budget.
Well, I hope we didn't pay too much for that.
Paula, could I have the number, dollar number, for the solid waste increase? And that's if we didn't subsidize it with property tax.
I think it's roughly $145,000.
No. I mean, for
the ratepayer.
The ratepayer.
The ratepayer cost.
Yeah. Oh, on the bill.
Yeah, if we were to cover all of solid waste without property tax.
We do have Cal Waste here. They do have a couple of slides. If you guys want to come up and kind of talk a little bit about that, now would be probably be a great opportunity.
Yeah, actually what I'm looking for is, because they do a great job. It's just because, and the gentleman left, that's already getting the protest going, because we didn't have a rate increase last year, the district absorbed that cost. So if I heard the one gentleman correctly, he doesn't want another cost increase, so we're going to inherit that cost again should they want to protest this. But I'm just looking for that dollar number for us to come flush if the ratepayers just pay the cost.
I mean, the average service rate is about like $653 okay. per house. So currently, residents are still paying the 2021 rates, as far as I understand it.
Oh, that's correct.
So the difference between those rates and the ones associated with this current Prop 218 is, for the 65-gallon cart, it's $653, which a vast majority of residents
That's
are
the
on.
Increase or the cost?
It's the increase.
Okay.
So it's,
that's what I'm rumbling for.
For the 35-gallon, it's $627. For the 95-gallon, it's $748.
Thank you. Just give me one second, please. But I'm not including the 2%.
Yeah, the 2%.
Okay, so for the board's edification, if we went with the numbers given to us and what Cal Waste just mentioned, it would be a $18.50 increase for the three items that we talked about, which would be your sewer, wastewater, solid waste. The other two tax measures speak for themselves. We don't control that, so they're not affected by this year or this process. So just moving forward with what Russ put to us, I got an $18.50 a month increase. Does that sound correct? Okay. While we have Cal Waste here, the gentleman, any questions of Cal Waste? From the board.
Yes, I think we talked about it some time ago in a previous meeting about what happens if the ratepayers protest and we can't increase fees. Do we have the ability to cut services?
The district has the ability to do whatever they please as far as we understand it. We just couldn't work without being compensated for it. We would have to work with the district on what that means. We would still have to meet some state standards, as in, like, you would have to get your trash and now organics picked up weekly. but whatever size people would get, I mean, we would have to come up with some creative ways to accomplish it, but yes, you can cut down to minimum services. It's not something we would like to
There was a special trash pickup in your rates, I believe.
The bulk pickup, what's the value of that?
Without giving too much history, there was four included. They went away back in July last year. Now we're proposing one that starts July 1st of this year. The value of that is about $1.50. It's $1.49.
Thank you.
I had a brief question. The cost of the landfill, you know, is kind of substantially, and I think it goes from $1.30 to $3 if it goes to a certain landfill. And I believe, can you refresh my memory on what landfill that is? What's the probability that you would likely be using that landfill?
Because
that's an assumption that we
made. So Kiefer landfill went up dramatically about 2 years ago. They went from about $20 or $27 a ton to almost $50. So it went up almost 75%. And we came in, we used to have something called an RRI adjustment, which accounted for like certain index increases and then specific elements such as disposal costs. But in the new agreement that the district approved last year, now it's just flat. It uses a water, sewer, trash index. So the disposal index, like i.e. if Kiefer goes up 100%, the district just doesn't pay for a disposal increase. It's just a one index water, sewer, trash CPI adjustment. If it went up 100%, we might have to come for a special circumstances thing. But maybe it's not part of the index increase any longer. We kind of wrote that out of the agreement because it just made things weird.
Understand. Any questions of... what's that?
In general.
Well, just of cow waste. I'm good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that number. For the board's edification, by my math, that bulk pickup's worth about $50,000 right now. And I just took the $149 times $2,800. So it's roughly $50,000.
For four?
For one pickup.
For one.
Yeah. And we're down to one anyways.
Effective July 1st.
Correct. So there's a cost savings right there. Okay.
John wishes to speak.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir.
Yes.
Make notes. Come on up.
No worries. John Snyder, 603.
Yes, sir.
Half of the increase is in the two studies. Has there been consideration, a study usually lasts more than 1 year. Is there consideration of studying that, stretching that over a 3 to 5 year period to soften the cost?
You mean the cost of it itself, not necessarily the study? So I'll open it up to the board, but good question. We did a portion of the water this year.
Yeah, we're currently working on the Integrated Water Master Plan, and the $200,000 that you saw for next fiscal year is that amount of the plan that we assume is going to cross that fiscal year boundary of July 1.
So it's really just for this next year?
Right. So we did, out of this fiscal year, we did a large portion of it. Knowing that
in process.
Yeah, that it was going to be a multiple fiscal year process.
Sure.
As far as the rate study, and again, the gentleman that was already talking about protests, the rate study has already been in the works by staff way before the grand jury. So now it's just a matter of how do we finance it.
Okay, so it's a necessary expense that we're not going to avoid. I get that.
But
is it that much?
I understand the question. Because we did it with the Integrated Water Master Plan. There may not be a reason why we don't carry it over, because it's going to be a multiple fiscal year process.
A lot of projects do cross fiscal year boundaries, but we're basically doing two things. We're doing a 5-year rate study, but prior to that work being done, we need to do a really good you know, at least 20 to 30 year CIP program to make sure that, you know, we take good care of our infrastructure, identify those things much, much better than we have in the past. And that's something that I've always wanted to do ever since I started here. So I'm really kind of excited about, you know, getting to know our infrastructure better than we do now and being able to plan for the future. But that's something that needs to predate the rate study. So that feeds kind of into the rate study. Like, so when we go to the public, we have, you know, we have well-established needs and well-established values. And so that's the piece that I look forward to doing. That will really need to be done next fiscal year. We can't stretch that out. We can't afford to wait.
Well, I don't question that.
Yeah, but good yeah. thinking. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, if it's a multi-year project, why yes. isn't being figured, so we're not taking the hit? Yeah, I'm just trying to
right.
How do you keep that?
No. I understand.
Okay,
I understand.
So within that, then, my next question, operations, you know, Mr. Branson, talk strictly in terms of percentages. Have we got inside each of the departments to understand what the true needs are? I know there's no meat, because there's never meat, having done budgets my entire life, but there is. So my question is, have we really got inside each of the departments to understand what our necessary costs are to see if there is any potential savings in any one of those areas to bring the overall start rate down?
And I mean, that's an astute point. And one of the things that we, you know, will do when we get more financial information, we're in the process of catching up now, and I know that we've probably been saying that for probably since 2018.
First time I've heard it.
Yeah. So, you know, we really look forward to getting those good numbers, because what I like to do as a general manager or a director is every month I like to look at my financials, where am I in space, and so that gives me an idea like, wow, this really came up, is there a better way to do X? And we even do that now. We're always looking at alternative procurement methods. And that's one way to save substantial cost. And so no matter what happens here today, we do look towards finding cheaper ways to do things that are just as effective as possible.
Okay. My next question, Mr. Calwaste, how much of, when we go to the dump, how much of that's glass?
About 16%.
16%. We have a reduction of 16%. What would that represent to us? No answer. But I'm just saying, have we considered the possibility of recycling glass in the community?
Well, I guess to caveat that, 16% of your recyclables are glass.
Totally understand. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying that's also a 16% reduction in the size of each one of those bins that you pick up every week. So, I mean, there's a potential there. I throw it out only because I know I'm running out of time.
No, you're fine.
I'm a Rotarian, okay? Uh-huh. Our Rotary magazine puts out a magazine, and in it they talked about recycling glass within communities. In the state of Washington, because they're very near a wine area, they recycle their glass. Glass is silica, okay? Silica goes where? In sand traps. I'll start with that. But silica goes everywhere as we backfill trenches. It can be used. So I just throw it out as an idea. They were able to secure government money to create a recycle facility specifically for glass. And so they're reusing it, which to me makes a lot of sense because it represents 60% of the cost or the waste that hopefully we can put back into the community as opposed to throwing the landfill.
I understand. I think the process on the 16%, I don't know how we get there,
it's just an idea, and no. I do have information on it because I have been researching it because right. I was really curious because I know we have a problem at the country club.
Right.
Find a sand trap that has any sand in it at the moment.
Most of it's in Wilton, at least on the
sand. It really is, exactly. So I thought, you know, does it make sense for us to try and recycle this stuff? And it is being used on golf courses, so I just threw that out.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
That's a good idea. Hi. Crystal Matter, a couple of questions.
Yeah.
First, when do you plan on releasing the findings of the 2021 audit? Next question is for Mr. Branson. The cost allocation plan that you relied on is from 2020. That allocation increased the admin allocation to security from about 21% to 31 or 32% based on the representations of the prior GM and not actual data. Since that 2020 report, security services to the community have been dramatically decreased because the admin allocation went up. Given your background, do you have any concerns basing your recommendations on such an outdated study? And to the board, do you have any intentions to have an updated cost allocation plan prepared to more accurately represent where admin fees were spent? And finally, I heard two numbers on the average increase, 10.8% and 14.4% for those three areas. Which is it? And can the board confirm that the other two areas, namely security and drainage, will be you will increase or use the 2% each? And so what I'm looking for is an aggregate overall increase that we can expect in terms of percentage and dollar amount.
And obviously, I was 14.4. My first one I was doing on the fly was too low. So it's 14.4, which makes more sense to me. And the other piece is you asked about the cost allocation plan. I think, yes, oftentimes they're done every year or 2 years. You're a small agency, it's been dealing with a lot more things, so it hasn't been updated. But there are major changes that requires some additional look at some points in probably.
So I'll just go down. I don't know if I have the questions correctly. Fiscal year 2021 audit, when will be released, is once the board gets it and accepts the report. Russ answered his question. The total percentage, no wait, I'm sorry, Russ's question on the cost allocation study being 2018. I believe the GM answered that with the rate study would take a look at the cost allocation for the organization itself. So that was question two. Question three, I'm not 100% sure on. The next question, which was the taxes of the 2%. The district does plan on having the total 2%, and I do not have a total of the total costs adding drainage and tax in. That would be on top of the 1850 as of right now. So if staff could work on what the total 2% for Measure J and K, please, what that increase would be.
So the board is recommending 18.4% increase?
Well, if you have a question, come up to the podium.
Okay, my last question was, what's the total percentage increase with all of those areas, and what's the dollar amount? I get if you don't have the dollar amount today, but so we're looking at a total percentage increase of 18.4%.
No. You might be. I'm not. I'm trying to run the totals. So if you came up with 18%, I appreciate that. I'll have that briefly from staff.
While you're doing that, can I ask Russ a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Martin.
Is he still there?
I'm still here.
If you go to that water budget, where it tells us what the operating expenses are.
Yeah, I'm going to show my screen.
Can you make it bigger? Or?
Slopes.
Mike, can you make that one bigger? Or delete your other one?
Hey, Russ?
Can you put...
Yeah, can you see it?
Can you put the... you have the... Oh, wait. It's on this.
Oh, it just
needs to
click right there.
Here?
Yep.
There it is. Okay, there we go. So...
expenses are almost 2.8 million, right?
Correct, yes.
Last year's budget was almost the same. Are we not having increases?
Yeah, so, well, I think it may have been, it's, you know, one of the changes here is a shift in,
I saw that in your note, but
I'll say this.
I don't know how that works.
There's two things going on. One is the shift in costs for employees. And I don't know exactly what you're looking for when you said it was about the same.
What was the dollar value of the shift of the employees?
The dollar value of the employees that I showed this year is $608,000. And I show for the budget $560,000. I think that's my own personal adjustment to with the shift, the 2020 shift. In 22, it was $946,000. So that's probably more representative of what was in this year.
I didn't track that.
So the operating expenses for the wastewater went up about $130,000, and the water didn't go up at all.
Right, and the big jump of that is again in a different allocation
of employees. So it might have been a different split in the past. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
it was
a 41-59.
Okay, so. Why aren't we using the old one?
This is more, the 50-50 is more representative where the labor is actually being utilized. It's actually pretty close to 50-50.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
So, Tim, I can answer your question for both drainage and security. It's a combined 74 cent per month increase.
Okay, hold on one second. So both of those combined, it's 74 cents.
Correct.
Okay, so that's...
What's the total dollar?
So for drainage, it would go up to $5.64 a month?
No, the total increase for the year.
The total increase?
I think it's just a 1924. Depends what side your garbage can is.
So the total annual increase per resident is $8.88 for both drainage and security.
I think what Crystal asked is that previously we came up about $800,000 for rate increases for these three departments. There's two others. What's the total increase for those sewer and
security
and drainage that you might add to the $800,000 of what the increases are? And then you get a new denominator. Because those have a base rate.
So, yeah, it adds about $25,000 to that $803,000 mark.
I'm sorry. So how much?
$25,000. Just slightly over.
So that raises the numerator. What's the denominator go up?
$8.3 million for
last year, and so you're going up $828,000 over $8.3 million last year.
And what's that at? Ends up?
So it'd be less than 10%, right around that.
I don't want to make it any more.
9.9%.
I don't want to make it any more convoluted, but to me, the garbage service is just a pass-through. It's nothing, we can't change what our costs are. So, at the risk of being a pain in the ass here, what if we took the garbage out of the waste out of the equation?
To the solid waste. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And not increase the rate?
No, just take all those numbers out of the percentages. Take the revenue out. Take the expenses out. Now what?
where are we at as far as increases?
So 781,
so
yeah,
revenue was 1928.
So Randy's asking to take the solid waste back out.
Because it would pass.
So that puts us at 8.4%.
And that includes drainage and security?
I did not know.
So
yes, yes.
Bottom line, 8.4%. Thank you. Yes.
If you exclude the pass-through.
Director Butler?
I just had a few comments. First of all, I find it to be very confusing when we're talking about percentages under one thing and dollars under another. So put it in dollars and put the percentage next to it. To me, that just makes more sense if you want both of them. I'm personally more interested in the dollars than I am the percent. So that's one thing. Russ talked about property tax monies about 15 times. It's not that much. We have to use that property tax for a lot of different things if we're going to fix some of this. And then the grand jury said, we need $10 million in reserves. I want to know how much we have in dollars in each reserve fund. It's mystifying to me why we haven't done that and why we don't present things, excuse me, in that fashion. You know, this is how many dollars we have in the water reserve. This is what it's going to cost according to the capital improvements, and then how much do we think it's going to cost according to all the things that go wrong in this community. So, frankly, I think that would be a much, it would provide relief for me in terms of understanding this process. The other thing is that this is the first go-around before we all get crazy over, you know, how much or how little it is or where we're going to spend the money. I think we need to go back and look at it again. And that's what we didn't have an opportunity to do last year. So I don't think anything in this meeting today is final. Is that not true?
Oh, yeah. This is basically a workshop is all it is.
Thank
so. But I don't know if we answer the last speaker, if we got the total that they were looking for in the overall percentage. So I don't know if that question ever got answered. So,
it was in the intermediate between your question and my question.
Oh, okay.
It was a little under 10%, if I remember.
It was total 10%?
9.9.
9.9.
Questions? So
yes,
I want to make sure I understand this contingency. 5% on operations in water, we said. Is there also 5% contingency in wastewater?
Yes.
And no contingency in solid waste.
Yeah, that's correct. It's just a pass through.
All right, thank you.
Not in drainage or security. Not in drainage or security.
Correct, because that's just the tax.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what we augmented the drainage last year. I think it was like 28,000. Something sticks up. So, yes.
One of the tenets is that we haven't been setting enough money aside for reserves. But the January 1st, 2023
report, which is the last one I can find, shows $2 million more in all the categories of reserves, impact fees, capital fees, etc., than we had 18 months ago, which was back in 2022, July 1. I pulled those down from the website. I added up all the columns. It was $2 million difference. And basically, the reserve numbers that are in the, we generate this community services district estimated monthly customer bill. When you take those reserve amounts, multiply it by the 2646 residential customers, you come up with about just around $1 million going into various reserve accounts. So, in theory, we've taken 2 years or 18 months to get to where there's $2 million more, and you would expect more than the exact reserve because we collect capital improvement fees from all the houses that have been built over the last 18 months. So I don't think that we're not parking the money where it's supposed to be parked. It's just we don't have a report that we can trust. And not trusting the report creates all this anxiety, and it ain't going away until the reports look like they're defensible.
Right.
So, I said a year ago that I thought that we should not run parallel systems. We should just charge into the conversion because what we have is garbage. And the last 18 months has demonstrated that we don't have one financial report in 18 months that you can trust. So I raise my hand again and say, charge into the conversion. Let's get the numbers into the right boxes and let's see what we got.
So I think a couple of things, and then I'll turn it over to staff. We are, good, bad, or different, we are moving to the conversion. It's backwards, meaning I don't have the exact account to start with, but we're going to billing, not that we have any issues with billing, but that, I believe, is the 24th of next month. We're going to run it parallel, and then billing's going first. I can turn it over to Vanessa to kind of explain the next couple of steps. But we are, and I made it painfully clear since I was interviewed by the grand jury, exactly what we're doing with our new system and how long it's been in process for the last 2 years because we couldn't get it funded before that. So I know folks are tired of hearing this, that we're working on it. I'm seeing we're making headway. I only see it because of the massive amount of paperwork that comes my way. As the end users, I understand you folks have questions. You're not seeing the end product, but work is continuing. So, Vanessa, I don't know if you have more to add on timelines, but again, we're going into this, working it backwards, where my balance, we know it. We don't know 100%. We're going to move forward, and we're going to rectify that once that reporting system comes up online.
We're billing everybody, and we're getting paid by everybody. We should be okay.
Well, at the end of the day, to a certain extent, yes, other than when you don't have rate increases and the costs go up, then we're not okay.
Minor details.
Exactly. So I don't know if there's more to add to that, Vanessa.
I would just say that most system implementations, about half of them will fail.
That's optimistic. Thank you.
At least in some way or another, it doesn't go right. And so I would not forge ahead with bad data into a new system. I haven't recommended that to staff. I think they've been very methodical in their thought process of doing the utility billing every month. And yes, we know sometimes there might be an error on a bill, but for the most part, we get the billing right. You guys pay your bill. We see the money coming in. We see it hitting the bank. We know it reconciles, and I can see all of that. Now, I would recommend that we continue to nimble along because we've done a lot of work to get the system up to date through 2021 and turn that over to the auditor so that they can audit it. And when those good numbers come out as a balance sheet, we will give those numbers to Tyler to implement in the new system. That way you have good balance sheet, good reserve balances, and good developer deposit balances going forward, amongst all the other accounts that need to be accounted for going forward, cash and investments and all the other transactional things that you don't necessarily see in a budget report. So before, we're not going to recommend as the consultant to just forge forward and can the current system. We do have data that's coming out of the system. We are developing trial balances to give to the auditor. They are taking that information and auditing. We are finding errors. We are correcting them before they go to the auditor. Some of them are material. Some of them are not. And so I think this next run on the invoices is going to be a good test with the system, the staff. We've got a lot of reports that we run for utility billing off the old system. I would say a dozen, if not more, reports that we've got to make sure that that new utility billing system can generate all those reports before we say turn the switch on and go live, because that's our bread and butter. We have to bill the customer. We have to collect the cash. Cash is king.
So, Vanessa, if I can ask you a question on that point. Mr. Sullivan sent us an email pointing out anomalies in his own bill. And, I mean, there were wide variances in the dollar amounts that were given to him on two different occasions by our staff and what he calculates. Would you say those kinds of errors are anomalous, or are they occurring with some frequency based on your experience and looking at the books?
I'm not sure which. He's got multiple accounts, so I would have to have
I have one personal account. I have many, many business accounts through entities. My personal account, I didn't get a bill. I got a brand new house. I was told my bill was $133. I went on the website to find out what it was. It said it was $45. I paid the $45. I calculated what I thought I owed, which is $288, and I paid it too. Right. That goes on top of the 17 parcels we were charged $55,000 for the last 5 years in error, and the four invoices I got 30 days ago with my name on them that belonged to the Marietta Marketplace. I sent those back. I sent those to the general manager, and not one damn thing's happened to those. And the excuses just go on and on and on, and with all due respect, you're not doing the job you were paid for.
Well, I appreciate your comment, Mr. Sullivan. I don't think doing a personal attack, I understand the frustration. I just don't wear it the way you're wearing it. I do respect your comments, but I would ask that if you're going to be pissed, please be pissed at me and take it out on me. We will address staff where we need to, and we have. I truly understand the frustration. I do. So with that, I'll leave that there.
This is another property tax question. We get that money twice a year, basically. So when we get it, are we going to divide it up in whatever way we decide and put it in there right away? Is it going to be held someplace? What are we doing with that?
You'll get your property taxes in two main installments. you'll get a supplemental payment that comes in August for that last tax year. Okay. So you're getting essentially three installments, but that third one is small. Mm-hmm. And then there are delinquent properties. So as those close, you'll get delinquent property taxes that are ongoing for some period of time.
Okay.
So if you choose as a board in your next budget cycle that you want that property tax to go into capital reserves, mm-hmm. Then it would go into capital reserves when those property taxes get collected.
Okay.
And
okay.
those generally come in January, May, June timeframe, and August.
So it's not held aside or whatever.
It'd be in the reserve funds.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Great.
And I remember, Ms. Sullivan, but I'll answer after. Go ahead, ma'am. Yes.
Hi, my name is Susan Pennell.
Hi.
And my address is 6803 Brisa. And my question is regarding your intention to send out Prop 218 notices. When and if you do that, will you be addressing the grand jury, the grand jury report, in as much as trying to appease the many, many people in the community who are not happy with those increases? I think we all agree money is needed, but without your budget, without knowing really how much money we actually have, and you're asking for additional funds, I think most people would rather hold off and look at the proposition increases than just assume we're going to move ahead business as usual. To me, the grand jury report and the Prop 218 letters go hand in hand. Somehow the board has got to address the grand jury investigation at some point in time. I haven't really seen much.
We have 60 days.
60 days.
Yeah, we're actually in.
Well, we all saw a letter to the grand jury that, and I understand, you know, I'm very willing to work with whatever decisions are made. But I don't think most residents really fully comprehend that you're serious about this grand jury investigation. That's my own judgment, that's my own opinion, but will you be addressing it at the same time that you're moving forward with the Prop 218 letters?
Right, so I it's almost two questions. I did not, and that's a legal question, whether the Prop 218 requirements either allow or we should address the grand jury. So that's question one, right? That they go together. The second item is whether the district takes the grand jury report at seriously. I can tell you, as a person that spent several hours in front of the grand jury, I take it extremely seriously. And we had some very frank, earnest discussion. So, and again, I think that the findings versus the recommendations are fantastic for the organization. I can tell you right now, and you'll see when we have 54 days to respond formally to the judge that approved the grand jury report, that if not 100%, 99% of these items have already been in the work. So that portion will come. We just have not spoken individually as board members to the grand jury report because we're working with staff putting it together. But again, we're required by state statute to respond back to the grand jury. So we are in fact doing that. Your question of addressing the grand jury and the Prop 218 notice, that's a legal question I have to ask Mr. Ramos, because I don't know if that's a place where Prop 218 allows us to address the grand jury. So I have to ask that question. I understand what you're asking. from that standpoint. So I don't know if that addressed.
Well, it's also different timing. Budget,
well,
budget requirements are different than the timing requirements for the grand jury.
Yes, that may be a fact. What I'm saying is the community needs to be hearing more of a response from the board than what we're hearing. You know, to us, I'm giving you my opinion,
no,
and I'm
fine.
Saying there are probably thousands of residents who agree with this. We aren't feeling that you're really acknowledging how dire the grand jury inquiry is, the grand jury investigation.
And I will tell you, first of all, thank you for coming up. But none of it was a surprise, and I'll speak as the president of the board. None of these findings were a surprise. Because, again, if you go back and look at just our and please don't. please do not go back and listen to any of the meetings. But all the meetings are recorded, and we've talked about all these items. We've directed staff. I'll stay right now because this is on a fiscal issue. We have moved out way ahead of the grand jury to hire the Poon Group and to get our house in order. You just heard from a resident in front of you. Again, he wears his emotion different than I do. Doesn't mean it's any less, but we take it extremely seriously. Those folks that are saying whatever they're saying on social media, again, it's one of those that this grand jury report, I don't think you can take one item out. A gentleman took an item out of it. I don't think you can take a single item out of the grand jury report. And it's made it very clear that what's been going on for decades of subsidizing security is inappropriate. So again, we're moving in the right direction. Is it fast enough for everybody? I would argue it's not. You just heard from our consultant the process we have to go through just to get onto a new system. We started funding that almost 4 years ago. So it all takes time. Last year, the community was very clear. They felt that there shouldn't be a rate increase. So with that said, that's where we're at. Our costs have gone up. We've seen the numbers. One resident said that this is very basic, and he's disappointed, and the money wasn't spent very well. We know our costs, and they're hard costs. The only question is, what is that inflationary cost? Everything else we already understand. We already understand the revenue. So at its most basic, it's where it's at. So I applaud you for coming forward. Thank you. The only thing I would ask is, whoever asked you how did it go, we treated you nicely, and we in fact take this.
That's not the point.
I understand. But we take it extremely, extremely seriously.
I'd like to add a comment.
Well, yes. And I appreciate that as well. The community needs to hear that.
I understand.
And if I may, we're talking about, 12 or 14 findings and a similar number of recommendations. We've only had it for a little over a week. And the responses that we need to provide to the grand jury need to be thorough and comprehensive. We could have written platitudes in 10 minutes. That wouldn't have satisfied the court, nor anyone sitting here, nor anybody in the community. So we will need some time to fully explain and address what steps we have already taken, what ownership of the faults that the grand jury found with our accounting and financial systems, and to fully describe our efforts and our ongoing efforts and our plan to correct those. And so that's not going to be a 2 or 3 page document response. And in the meantime, we've got to consider a budget and we have to, you know, run the services, but that is a very high priority. As again, the new guy on the board, I wasn't here when all those problems developed. But I'm experiencing the impact of them now, just as you are. And I know from talking to these board members in the board meetings for the last 4 months, there's a very firm commitment to correct the ship and to fix the finances and to become accountable to you for how we're stewards of your money. My money too, because I'm a resident. But to be accountable for how we're acting in a fiduciary responsibility with your money. So I would just request a little bit of patience for us to put that answer together. And as Director Butler says, it may not align exactly with our budget process. You know, we have 60 days. That puts us into mid-May that we have to have a response to the court. And clearly we will meet that obligation.
So when do you anticipate the Prop 218 letters to go out? Will it be after 60 days, after the community has...
No, it can't be.
They have to go out Wednesday this week.
But, okay, you know as well as I do how the community is going to react.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm just saying, you guys, I mean, the board really should be thinking about ways to talk to the community, and I hear it could be a legal thing, but how do you expect a protest not to occur if you aren't addressing the fact that you're absolutely serious about the grand jury inquiry?
We will be doing a town hall meeting towards the end of April on this process. Please keep in mind that whatever goes out in the way of 218 notices, that's kind of the worst case scenario, if you will, for the community. This is the highest rate increase we might seek as we're refining our budget, as we're deciding what to do with property tax money, as we're deciding what to do about funding the studies that we've talked about throughout the day. And that's a process, and the community, a lot of good input today. We expect to continue to receive input. Director Butler and I, you know, put together that town hall meeting a week or so ago on the integrated water plan. We'll be doing another town hall meeting. I think it's April 26th, I think, is our date. And I would encourage turnout there, more input. We hope to have a lot more information for you then we can. This is first stages today. We're just kicking this process off, but the notice has to go out under the statute with sufficient notice that you can respond, you can ask questions, and if you choose to, you can protest some or all of the increase.
And I guess, thank you, Steve. Maybe it's, and I apologize, maybe I should have started the meeting this way. Under the Prop 218 process, we have to give you the highest dollar number. And so that's what we did last year. And so the protest was off the highest dollar number. It never got to what the actual presentation was going to be at the June meeting. So when one argues that somebody in the audience threw out an 18% increase, that's if we took everything as is, all the numbers from the consultant, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the worst case scenario. What cannot happen in the process is if we set our rates and we send out the notice and then we find out something went wrong and fiscally it's an impact of $500,000, $1 million, we cannot go back and make an adjustment. We have to absorb those costs moving forward. So it's a worst case scenario. So again, on the folks that did the protest last year, they went on what was the worst case scenario. It wasn't what was going to be offered by the board because we had the June hearing. That's where the actual refinement comes in and those types of things. So I hear everything you're saying. I cannot tell you any different than what I've told you, being the person that sat with the grand jury for several hours to work through these processes and answer their questions. We take it extremely serious. Here's the part of government. We're not on Facebook. We're not on social media because we're not into that. A, I don't have the staff to get into the wars. We're stuck with a legal response to a judge. And that's the process we have to go. So it doesn't look good for us when we don't say anything. It's not going to look good for us if we try and say something too soon. So, but I hear what you're saying, and I truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
So, before I forget, one second. So, Mr. Sullivan, my wizard math came up with just shy of like 900,000 when we implemented that $14 increase. So I think that's where that reserve, when you go over the 18-month period, it puts us at one something million. But that's where I came up. I didn't want to forget it. Sorry. Yes, please come up.
Just one quick question. Since we're discussing financial issues, and since you're stewards of our money, the community's money, and in light of your efforts to be transparent, how much was Tom Hennig's total severance package, and how much was paid out for vacation?
I don't have that in front of me.
When can we expect to receive that?
I would assume, well, I don't know who we are, but I can report out at the 18th board meeting.
18th?
I take it back. 19th is the board meeting.
I could pull up a total amount that would not have that breakdown.
Yeah,
we did report in the cash requirements.
Your question, I'll report out on the 19th.
Let's get it.
Okay.
Sorry, I was mentioning. No.
She just walked up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to keep you waiting. Yes, ma'am.
Beth Federis, lot 785.
Beth, can you pull the microphone down closer? Thank you.
Beth Federis, lot 785. Just a quick question for Cal Waste. If we didn't do the organics pickup every single week, would that save us any money? I mean, we probably put in 3 coffee cans worth of stuff in that can, and my husband won't even take it out to the curb. He's like, why bother?
I understand. So, yeah, come on up. Come on up. And good luck with this one.
That's easy.
I never actually introduced myself last time. I'm Rudy Vacareza, Cal Waste. It would definitely save money, but from a state requirement standpoint, we're required to pick up mixed organics every 7 days from a household. The fact that now you're putting your food scraps in your, what was your green waste can, now makes it putrescible waste, which means it can rot and stink. And so we are required by law to remove that type of waste every 7 days. So the only option other than taking the trash and the organics every week is to, like, get rid of recycling. I mean, that's sort of the only thing you could do. But you're actually still required by the state to do that, but, you know, it's sort of another story.
No, I understand. Thank you. And great question. Understand a whole lot of this unfunded mandate with organic. Was done by the good governor, Jerry Brown, on the way out the door. Good, bad, or indifferent. So all these costs are being passed on to the district, on to the residents, and they're just now starting to hit with many more coming. So we did talk about all those options, and as of right now, there just isn't a good one. The only one that jumps out to me is the can size, and then the board just dictates that. And how we deal with that, we deal with it. But very good question. Thank you. All right. So there we go. 6A was the presentation. I don't have any questions on it. Now we just have to work through the process of each of the utility rates and what does the board want to do. Again, I don't think it can be said enough. If we try and catch up for no rate increase last year, put it to this year to get even, then move forward. we all understand that this is a lack of better term, a budget that is a bridge budget to get us to the cost allocation, the CIP, and the rate study for the next fiscal cycle. And the gentleman's left, but that's one of the items. Do we split it out over two fiscal cycles, since it's going to take us a couple fiscal cycles, right? So there's some cost savings there. But at the end of the day, are we looking at just trying to have a budget where services aren't cut? We know that there are certain costs. We know our hard costs to get us into the next process. So that's really kind of the philosophical question for the board. Do we want this bridge budget to get all the studies in place? Again, as the young lady mentioned, before we even start that process, our response is formally gone to the grand jury. And we've identified all of the 12 findings and the 13 recommendations. So that would put us in place to take the CIP, the rate increase, the cost allocation for what would be a five-year process moving forward that the board doesn't necessarily set, but the numbers run themselves. So I'm more inclined to go that direction, but I'll open it up to the board, then that'll tell us kind of the direction we go. I'll start at the far end, Director. Bless you.
Okay, I have the understanding that we need to raise rates so that we don't have to cut services. I don't think we want to cut services. Number two, I came into this meeting with the idea that we should keep our rate increases to less than 10%. It turns out that we're slightly above that. Before we get to the end of this, we need to confirm that we're still keeping the $14 reserves, the $6 charge for the water treatment plant, and the other increases to the base rates are going to be based on the percentage that we agree to here at the end. I'm not quite sure about the usage rate versus the base rate, but we can discuss that as we go on. So I think in order to keep this budget less than 10%, I would suggest we delete $200,000 for the Integrated Water Master Plan and pay it through reserves as we've proposed once before. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, give me one second.
Yeah, I have literally been tormented the last several weeks. There can be no question that the cost for goods and services of nearly every type have increased over the past 2 years, and the rates for services from CSD did not increase for the current fiscal year. On these bases alone, it's reasonable to conclude that some rate increases are warranted for fiscal 23-24, which will start on July 1 of this year. It is also reasonable to evaluate each service, as I spoke earlier, fund independently to determine the funding needed to operate each service program and build a prudent reserve for each fund. These observations notwithstanding, I do not believe that we have sufficient financial data available to us at this time to determine what those increases should be for any service except solid waste. Unfortunately, we've not progressed as much as I had hoped in addressing accounting issues and reconciling the various service funds. Accordingly, I will vote no on any rate increase except solid waste until the outstanding audits are complete and received, and we can produce a verified year-to-date financial report of revenues, expenditures, and reserves on a current basis.
Thank you.
I don't know if I can talk after that.
I brought up a few things that I think are important. I hope that we don't, in the community, take what we've just presented as the be-all and the end-all, because there is more work to do. We have 45 days, is that right, before we have to come back with the final budget. So give us a chance to do that.
Okay. Director Janko.
I guess I should have asked more questions along the ways because I thought I understood this, and maybe I don't. We have problems in our accounting system knowing what our balances are, where we start. But our operating costs are what they are. This is what it costs us. And the study is done based on our costs, not on our balances. Our balances are certainly important, but we know what things cost us. We know what water costs us for a year. We know what wastewater costs us for a year. I think everyone is probably in agreement that solid waste is just a pass-through, and we have really no options there. So based on that and the 5% contingency, which I don't think is quite enough, because time and time again we've proved that we don't, when something happens, we don't have enough money to make fixes. I don't know how we can approve a budget that doesn't cover our costs. And in my opinion, the weight, the fee increases that are being proposed in the presentation probably don't even cover our costs, because there's not enough contingency in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm in favor of proposing fee increases of this at the very minimum, and I'm not sure that those are enough. That's where I'm at.
Thank you, Randy. Vanessa, I'm going to ask you, because of your expertise, I'm sure we're not the only client that's been through these types of issues. So I guess my specific question to you would be, have you recommended other governmental agencies with some of the unknowns that we know, and to have a rate increase? The gentleman's left, he said do a mid-year increase once definitive information is known. So I'll turn it to you for your thoughts, please.
Thank you, Director Mabee, and I've got Russ on the line too. When you're looking at your budget going forward as opposed to your data looking backwards, the reason you look backwards is to look at trend information, right? Trends on how much you're collecting. We know how many residents you have. We know what your billings are. We have good solid numbers on the revenue side. And what Russ presented earlier, if you went back to the one slide, is that the majority of your expenses are labor costs, right? You're not in the business to sell products. You're in the business to basically service a community, and that requires labor dollars, which loaded onto that are pension costs, which loaded onto that is OPEB cost, and loaded onto that is their health benefit costs, and that we know how many people you have working here. We know how many positions are vacant. We know that we want to either fill or not fill all those positions in order to keep costs at a certain level, right? So in other agencies where you're asking, did I not have good data in the background going forward? Yes, absolutely. In many agencies that are in a fiscal distress, that is not uncommon to have the back year's financials to be in somewhat of a disarray.
what we try to get our arms around is the profit and loss statement. How much is your labor? We build that up. So Russ has built up that labor model separately from your data using our payroll data. We know how much your paychecks are. And then we look at service and supply costs. Those are the next bucket of service and supply. We just talked about solid waste. That's a service and supply cost. You can't change that number. They've got cost increases that are inflationary. And I don't know how many of you have been watching the news, but we are in, how many of you just went to the gas pump last week or in the last 2 days? It's over $5 a gallon again. All those energy costs are affecting your agency. They're increasing your costs in the last 2 years, and there's been no rate increase. Now, I understand we went through COVID. COVID created rate increases, right? And so we have this inflationary time that we're coming out of. So what we're focusing on is looking at your profit and loss statement. That's what Russ did. He said, where are you sitting on your profit and loss statement year to date, looking at projections going forward and saying, where will you end up? And when you look at his graphs, I wanted to point something out very significantly. He did a net break-even analysis. That meant water, wastewater, and those funds are breaking even with that increase. If anything changes slightly, for example, we've had major rain. So let's say everybody go water your grass. That's a variable rate because your water meter is going to spike. You're going to pay more into the agency. That's helpful. But nobody in their right mind would say, go water your grass unintendedly and use up all this precious water that we have in California in order to increase your revenue to the agency. And so we don't know people's behavior. We know people might say, we've got more water this year. Let's go ahead and water our lawns. And that's going to increase your revenue. So that revenue analysis is really, really important, and we don't know what the behavior of the community will be. In times of drought, we've seen agencies get state mandates to cut water usage. I had a bond issuance, a bond, go into default because of conservation measures. And we had to refund the bond, and it was a multi-million-dollar bond for a wastewater treatment plant. We had to go to market during a bankruptcy and sell bonds in the marketplace with bad numbers on the other side of the house, but not on the utility billing side. So we can get your utility billing numbers. We know that. Your miscellaneous revenue, there's not a lot there, but there are developer deposits that come in. We're working on getting that cleaned up. We're working on getting the reserve analysis cleaned up with the capital plan. That's where there wasn't a concentrated effort by past staff years ago in order to handle that. I think they were busy building water treatment plant phase two. That was what the last focused effort was since 2014. It was a big endeavor to get that built and to provide water and wastewater to the community. So, yes, bad numbers in the past, but you can really get and drill down on a monthly basis on what your costs are. We do pay our bills. We pay our invoices. We know how much our costs are. We know which cost categories are going up or down. And that will be developed going forward as part of the full budget for the district. Right. Now, in the past, your practice has been come to this March meeting, develop a full budget, and then, again, develop a second budget in May, and then, again, do a final budget. That's not a requirement of 218. 218 requires you to look at your cost categories for your services that, as a district, you're providing. And that's what we've done in this study. Russ, I don't know if you want to add to that. Oh, hands on mute, I think. You're on mute.
Yep. I was on mute, yes, thank you. The only thing I did, it was a good summary of the, I think how what we're talking about here, Vanessa. The only thing I'd add is about 34% of the rate increase is because we're also not assuming property tax support for wastewater or solid waste. There's no property tax support in the water for this year. But just that's the other piece, right? So part of the increase is because we're wanting to think, you know, at least the board needs to make a proactive decision about property taxes, and the idea being that it should be for capital and other support, I believe. But those aren't in here, so that's just the other piece of the increases as well.
Correct.
Okay. Vanessa, thank you. Very insightful. Russ, thank you. That's a good way to put it, that the property tax isn't put into this fiscal budget to offset things. So with that said, I'll go to item 6B, authorize staff to mail out Prop 218 notice for water rate increase and public hearing. Now comes the part, what does that look like? What is that either dollar, Director Butler said percentage on one side, dollars on the other. So I think we have to do it both ways for people to understand, quite honestly. I think the dollars makes more sense. So I'll go back to what Director Janko said and even Director Cole from the standpoint, what is that minimalist cost? And so what I don't know is, since we have it broken down for the water utility rate, I guess my question would be, as of right now, off of Russ's numbers, what does that look like?
What the monthly costs
every year? Yeah, so I'm looking at, for item 6B, which is the water utility rate increase, what is the current recommendation?
Current recommendation would be $4.11 increase to the base charge for water.
Okay. And do we have a percentage of what that is?
That's the 10.6%.
Okay, 10.6%. Okay.
And what does that make the total, with the total 411 plus?
So the increase to the water base charge would be $42.84, and then the additional $14 for the reserve would make it $56.82. Sorry, 84 cents.
Plus the debt service?
Debt service is separate.
But it's going to be included.
Yes, that doesn't change.
So based on this, the mailing would show the increase to the base rate only.
And so that base rate increase would be $4.11 a month.
Can you tell me how our revenue is split, or do you know how it splits between base rate and usage? Yeah.
So the revenues come in, the total water base charge is $52.73 currently. That's $14 of that is the reserve cost, and then the remainder of it is the $38.73, which is the base charge itself. So essentially we would be adding $4.11 onto the $52.73.
But when we get money from our billing, how much of our money comes in from base rate versus usage rate? You know?
Gosh, not offhand.
So while she's figuring that, to your point, in my opinion, and she brought it up, that all of this conservation thing is going to drag our revenue down. And when it rains like this, it drags our revenue down because of the per unit that we're charging for the water. I would say that, and this affects people differently, but we're better off charging the money on the base rate. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a for sure.
Well, that's a more constant, because we saw it at the last board meeting for everybody's edification. In the water operations report, because of so much rain, the actual water usage has gone down, and I forgot the percentage. It was significant enough that it's going to affect the revenue stream from that standpoint. So we've seen it already just because of the amount of rain. Normally people are watering their lawns this time of year. So to that point, you're correct, Randy, when it talks about the water usage as conservation is king, it's a double-edged sword. We have water, it costs us more, but we bring in less revenue. And so that's where the base rate increase is more consistent for the organization as opposed to the actual usage.
And then, secondly, to Martin's point about the $200,000 in fees for doing that study, I think and we talked about splitting it into years and so on, but I think the way I looked at it when I first saw it was we're putting it in operating costs. And which are yearly costs that we considering are going to be ongoing, but this is a one-timer. Both of them are one-timers that we're putting into fees that are going to continue into infinity. So I like your idea of taking one of the plan costs out of this, and considering that somehow over time they will both be paid for in the next 2 or 3 years if we just put enough money in there for one of those plans. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I would think, if I understand the theory correctly, then when we get to the rate study, right, we've already had a couple of studies completed that set us up for that. We could build into the rate structure at that point for a five-year cost of what a new rate study is. Does that make sense? So that now becomes our yearly cost for a five-year period versus we're doing it 1 year for a five-year process. So I don't disagree with that. So before I ask, I want to do the exact same thing we just did in 6B for 6C, please, so I can see and confirm my totals. So this would be the sewer.
So the sewer will be a $7.86 increase, and that's based on the 17% that Russ presented.
Okay.
And that would increase that base charge to $54.12, and that does not include the reserve of $14.
Why not?
We're only increasing the base charge, not the reserve. So I calculated it separately.
Not the reserves.
Correct.
For sewer.
So it's a 17% increase without the reserve contribution.
Correct.
The denominator does not include that contribution.
So the current rate is 42.26.
The current rate is 60.26, I believe.
I'm sorry?
The current rate is $60.26. If you back out the $14 reserve contribution, it's $46.26 is the base charge.
But people are just concerned about how much is it going up. They don't care about the buckets the money's going.
Sure. So it'd be an additional $7.86 on top of that $60
And so using that number as the denominator, what is the increase?
While she's calculating that,
yes.
Of your total revenue in water, 24%, about 24.03% is from metered water. 75% is other base rate, et cetera.
And that, if we put all this into the base, that number is going to go down.
So the total cost for sewer would be $68.12 with the 17% increase.
And using the that as the denominator for the $7.86, what would the increase be percentage-wise? Or is that the
17%?
That
is the
17%.
So I'm still wondering why we're counting the contribution to water and we're not counting the contribution to sewer.
We're not counting the $14 contribution to water either. That is completely separate.
So the increase will not include any contributions.
Will include contributions. The increase is not based on the reserve contribution, it's based on the base charge.
But the 10.6% still uses the denominator,
yes,
including
correct
that contribution.
Go ahead.
Gotcha.
So I may have just misunderstood, but if for wastewater, if I look at 68.12 as the total, 7.86 only represents 11.5% of that value.
But it would be 7.86 divided.
No, but currently it's 60. So 60.26 is the current rate, right?
62.26. So the current rate includes the $14 reserve contribution. When I did the calculations, it was on the base charge only, not including the $14. So the $7.86 charge for sewer is going to be against the $46.26 base charge, not in total. We're not increasing the reserve contribution. We're
right.
Only
reserve
increasing the base charge.
But when you came up with 17%, it was based on the rate today, including the reserve contribution.
No, it's including just the base charge. It does not include the reserve amount.
Again, I'll go back and say people don't care what buckets the money is going in. They want to know how much is their rate going up. So $7.86 is what percentage of their total?
So that would be an 11% increase.
Did you have it as what?
I have it as 13. $7.86 of 6026.
No.
I'm going to make an executive decision, only because I have to use the restroom. But can we take, and this is rather critical, as we all know, can we take a 12-minute break? For those of you that don't know, restrooms are right through here. We've got water over there. I don't want to rush anything. So we're going to adjourn at 16:22. And we'll be back at 4:22. We'll be back at
the reserve contribution.
Well, 10 minutes.
Right now.
You're asking
for
current rates? For water?
For both.
Okay, so for water, it is $52.73, and that's what the current rate is.
Uh-huh.
And then sewer is $60.20.
So you're going to go what? We're going to go. And so if I take these, $4.11 and divide it by $52.73,
that's not 10.6%. I can see that right without going to the math. What is Did we come up with $4.11 divided by $52.73? We should.
Yes, that is the
12.8%. $4.11 divided by 52.73 is less than 10%.
Sorry,
7.7%. And the $7.86 divided by $60.26 is 13%.
$7.86. So what was that percentage increase? We had 13 over here. We had
17.
It's 13 if you include the contribution for reserves.
Which wasn't included in either.
Which I don't understand why you would. Why people just want to know, hey, what's my increase?
Right.
They don't want to care. They don't care where the money's going. They just want to know how much more am I paying. And right now they're paying $14 more than what she was at. So
okay, that doesn't make
sense.
So
you're saying 13
were you asking about wastewater?
Reserve, yeah. 17 and you just say.
Right. So. Okay. So. And I guess it's terminology, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm looking for an all-in cost. So if we go back to 6B.
Better wait.
Okay.
We're going to get in trouble here. I'll take our lawyer's place until you show up. Somebody's got
it. I've been admonished numerous times before. So, Paul, I guess the question, and it's probably terminology, right? So when we're talking base rate, I understand what that means. But now for the, let me stop right there. I'm going to shift gears. Board members, do you have any question of Rudy from Solid Waste? I don't think he needs to sit through this ad nauseum.
That's a good idea.
So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for showing up.
Yeah, I think as we move forward, obviously we'll be in touch. Again, there's only certain things we can modify. I like the size of the garbage can, and we might have to explore those costs, right? At the end of the day, we have one size and one size only, and you got to deal with it. But with that, I appreciate the information that you gave us, but please, you don't have to sit through it.
We can still get the small garbage can. Regular garbage can, right? Or are they all
going to
be big?
No, you still get the different sizes of garbage cans. And
the organics is big.
Yeah, organics is big. Yes.
Yep. Understand.
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Any questions?
Yep, we will. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. So I guess for terminology's sake, a base rate when it comes to the fee structure would include the all-in costs. And what I mean by that would be the $14 that was approved several budget cycles ago by the board to go into reserves. So that being the baseline, then 6B would be a $4.11 or a 10.6%, and it would take us to a total of $56.84. Or do I need to add the 14% to come up with what our
$14?
Or $14?
Mm-hmm. No, it would be $56.84 all in.
All in.
Yes.
Okay.
That includes the $14.
Correct.
And that also includes then the $4.11.
Yes.
Okay. So we're all on the same page. Does that make sense, Randy? I was the one confused.
Where does the $6 show up on the wage structure?
The $6 is a separate assessment. And there are no changes to that. It's not subject to Prop 218. It's actually something that's levied through the property taxes. So.
Okay.
So then on 6C, I've got a 17% increase, which equals $7.86.
I disagree with how why take the reserve fund contribution out of its.
Right. Well, it's supposed to be. That's what I'm trying to get to.
But you said 17%. If you take the $7.86 divided by the total that people are paying right now of $60.26, you're going to get 13%.
Okay, so let me
and
help.
And that's where I'm trying to get to. Got to my question.
If I can help explain this a little bit better, we're not increasing the reserve contributions at all, and
correct.
That's why these are broken out the way they are. The 17% increase is on the base charge less the reserve contribution. If we include the reserve contribution, then we're levying that increase on top of just the base, not just the base, but also the reserve contribution. So if we levy it against the $60.26 for sewer, then we're going to be increasing the reserve contribution as well. So that's why it's removed to make the calculation, the 17% on top of the $46.26 as opposed to the $60.26, which is the full amount.
Right, but that's one calculation. Another calculation is what my total bill is today, including the $14, and how much of a percentage increase on my total bill
right.
does the $7.86
and that would
represent?
Be 13%.
Right. Okay. So
that's right.
So I understood what you said, But when we send out this mailing, we can put in descriptions.
Yes.
However we want. There's nothing that says you have to say this is 17% on the base. You just say this is 13% more than
correct.
What you paid. And that's what people want to know. They don't care. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're to 6D, solid waste. So Rudy... Oh, I left. Oh, no. Just joking. That was a little bit of humor. 6D. So same theory here. The
653.
Okay. So
now I do want to comment though on the $6.53. So I believe that's based off of what he's currently charging us, not the additional increases in rates over the last couple of years that we've not been able to levy on the residents. So the $6.53 on average would be that 65-gallon can mm-hmm. moving forward into the next fiscal year based off of what he was charging us, not what we were charging the residents. So there's going to be a difference between those two numbers.
I agree with that. I
know what those numbers are.
I can calculate it really quickly for you.
I think we need
that. Yeah, we're going to need that.
And we're all said and done here. We want to add all three together.
$36.56 plus $2 for the count.
So
what he just said. Versus $27.82.
See, let's do. So for 96 gallons, $44.96.
$9.14 difference plus $2 difference. 11.14. Maybe off a penny.
So for the 95-gallon card, it's $14.36 difference.
14, how much?
You're
talking about the organic waste?
No, that's the trash card size.
So Kelly, other than that, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm track with it.
You can get smaller trash cards.
The monthly bill that you always print to go as an example uses the 64-gallon card.
64-gallon? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, and the difference between what we currently charge and what we're going to be charging is $9.14.
Okay, so we need to make up $9.14 to break even.
Yes.
And what are we currently charging?
Right now we're charging $27.80, I believe.
$27.82?
Yes.
That's a big number. What's 914 divided by 27.82?
It's a third.
33%.
33%. Just to get us back to you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so again, you know, we had a resident come forward to argue the petition process. For various reasons versus keep everything the same, not do anything, and install it, and just to break even, it's a 33% increase. So
we have no control.
Correct.
Can you go back and tell me how you got 33?
$9.14 is the difference between what we're currently charging, what they're planning on charging, divided by the $36.96, which is what we're charging.
Divided by the $27.82.
Excuse me. Thank you, John. The $27.82.
That's actually 32.9%. At the end of the day, the total bill, like you send out every time, mm-hmm. will show $23.83 increase. If you include the $2 for the Sacramento County, and that's 11.13% on the whole bill.
Say that again. I got
23.83. That's 4.11 for water, 11.14 for solid waste, 7.86 for
Wastewater.
Wastewater.
23
and 72 cents for security.
2311 divided by
That's 11.13 when you set percent from the last bill. Two years divided by
23.5%.
23.83 is 11.13% on the last CSD customer example bill from last year.
I came up with $23.11, so maybe my calculator's. I'm just an engineer, stupid engineer.
It's probably the security, because I'm using the July 1, 21.
Yeah, he's putting drainage and security in it.
No, I'm just talking about the increases. $4.11, $7.86, and $9.14 is $23.11, plus the $2. And then on the denominator, current, you've got $52.73 in water, $60.26 in sewer, and $27.82.
No, it's only 46.
So we need to make a quick correction, though. The Sacramento County surcharge, we're currently charging $2. It's going up to $3, so it's only a dollar increase on that. Correct.
So that's $22. But the current charges stay the same, and that's $140.81 and $22.11 total over 3 divided into 140.82 that everyone's currently paying is 15.7% overall. But it's so skewed because of the 33% in solid waste.
Randy, what did you come up for the current total for the three services?
$140.82.
What did you use for wastewater?
$52.73.
No, that's water.
Wastewater, $60.26.
I thought it was only 46.26.
No, that doesn't include the $14 reserves.
It should be 68.12. And that's what I was trying to get to, that we have to have the same terms.
The sample bill that you send out every year has $30.94 for usage. That's in the 214. That's really going to skew your number.
For usage for...
that's the meter
it's
usage.
It's the meter usage.
It's 0.02175 per cubic foot.
So does the $52.73 have something in there for meter water?
No, that's separate.
Mm-hmm. It's going to stay the same, basically.
Yeah, the we're only discussing the base charges. The usage isn't included in the increase.
We have to compensate for it. Because it's revenue versus our costs. So it's $30. Would you say $30?
It shows, they base it on 1,426 cubic feet a month, which works out to $30.94, which is in the 214 sample bill. Which takes your percentage down.
You think that gallon's about right?
I think across the board that's a little low, but we are a lot less. We are a lot more water efficient than we were when they started using that number. We're averaging down.
So
So when I look at a month of revenue for water, total revenue for water is around $64,000. Of that, $15,000 is from water usage. That's about 24% of that month.
Tom, what
month is that? This is April of 21. But I don't know what that property is that is higher. Is that a commercial lot?
No, this is residential.
That's a residential lot. He's got a lot for
you. So you're basically... $2,800,000, is that the budget for water?
So we have to go back to the slide and make sure we're compensating just not for the base, but for the metered water in those calculations.
So water residential is $2.5 million budget for last year?
Is that what it was?
$2,490,000. Mm-hmm.
So
900,000
of water sales, and
is
that about right?
Yeah, we're going to be, well, that's, if you want for the meter.
Do you want restoration
for
the water slot?
The usage charges.
Yeah, so you take 24% of that.
Russ, are you able to bring up the water slide for us again?
He's still there.
Be about 597
for last year. 20% commercial usage.
Commercial's a different line. I just did.
No, but I mean, if you just divide that by 80%, it'll add the
I have the commercial.
The commercial.
I have the commercials, 320,000.
Usage?
Total.
Thank you, Russ.
I don't have the commercial usage, but I can get that.
I think it's about 20%
by
volume.
So apples to apples, we need $4.11 on the base rate for our revenues to... match our costs. It really doesn't, whether it comes from metered, I mean, we just, that's the number we need
with the two studies.
Okay.
With the two studies in.
Right.
That's good. Thank you. Off the top of your head, Michael, I'm quick math. I've got 112.
Hold it. But did you say the 64-gallon can goes up to $9.14,
yes.
That's, but we're projecting a 19% increase on $27.82. Does that give you that number?
No, the 19.2, I believe, it's an overall increase. It's not based on a specific gallon size of trash bin. It's just the overall need that solid waste needs to become whole.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So, why isn't the 64-gallon can have that same increase? How are you going to... You want, the idea is to spread it over all the cans and get 19%. But why isn't the 64-gallon can 19% of 27.82?
Yeah, I think, essentially more have the 64-gallon cans, which are now going to be 65. But ultimately, you know, the way that Russ did the budget was that it was an overall increase on top of the revenues that we needed based on the cost for solid waste, the contract, and exactly, and what we subsidized going into this next fiscal year. So you wouldn't see that 19% increase on every single trash can. Solid waste has a lot of separate individual charges that have gone up smaller percentages. This is the 19% is an overall total.
But 914 over 27 is a big number. It's bigger than 19%, right?
Correct. It's like 33%.
So that's what it's supposed to be?
For that gallon size trash can, yes.
But the 19% of 27.82 is only 529. Our current cost is $27.82.
Yes.
And our proposed increase is $9.14.
Correct.
It's way different. That's all I was thinking.
Yep.
This is for the solids, right?
Right. It's essentially looking at what we needed for... Russ, can you
go to the solid waste slide, please? Do you want to talk a little bit about how you came to the 19.2%?
Yeah, that's
good.
Yes, three.
To what degree did shifting the administrative cost impact make sense?
I'm sorry, sir, your question?
I'm just curious if you're trying to reconcile between this and that. It seemed to me as though you went to like a 50% allocation on some of these things,
right,
and didn't used to be that way. Is that part of the discrepancy here?
So I understand your question. No, what we're trying to figure out is two things. What the base rate is, and then we can run that number X percent, right? But then we're trying to figure out off of your bill today. Our bill today has the $14 going into reserves. We want to include that so that you get a total cost all in. Let's just say for sewer, it would be $68.12. The increase is $7.86. With a 13% increase, what we're trying to do is get it standardized, because the inter-fund borrowing at $6 doesn't change. That stays consistent. $14 into reserve, that stays consistent. So having those as the baseline moving forward, now that's our baseline cost, right? But what's different is when we use baseline, as Director Janko is, that's 74% roughly of our revenue for water, metered water, your usage. Right. And so that's where I just want to make sure we're on the same page moving forward, so that when you look at your bill, you look at the Prop 218 notice, everything shows up across the board. That's, and I apologize if I'm slowing the process down because of my knuckleheadedness, but that's what I'm trying to just work through here. So I'm still on 6D. So if I understand it correctly. The new amount should be 2342.
New amount for what?
This is for solid waste.
How'd you get that?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
What?
16.
It's gonna be 35 something.
It'll be $36.96 for the 65 gallon.
But you never did answer why 19% of 2782 isn't something lower.
Right, that's the aggregate of what is needed to bring the fund whole based on the expenses that we're projecting through the contracts.
So if the aggregate is 19, why is any one of them higher than 19?
I guess the best way to explain it is, in fiscal year 2021, when the Prop 218 notices went out, we had preliminary rates from Cal Waste. We didn't have the final rates. So the rates that we levied on the ratepayers July 1 of the following fiscal year for 22-23, those were not what we were receiving, right? We were being charged something much higher. So we've had, this is coming into our third year of not collecting the full amount of what we're being charged for these rates.
But we're only dealing with
19% is on what we should have been charging. And this is just, the 19% is what the increase is this year. But you have to add to that, to what we should have been charging, to get up to the 33%.
So I thought we weren't going backwards.
We're not. I think what's missing here is we don't have a Prop 218 notice that has the tables here, which would explain it. With solid waste, it has to be broken out. There are several different charges. You're going to see a varying percentage increase.
So it's 2782 for
64-gallon can.
Correct.
And you said?
And it's going to be $36.96 July 1.
But you said?
Correct.
Still doesn't explain why we're not using 19% on 27.
Because you have to add in the additional amount that we have to charge to catch up.
No, that's what she said we're not doing. She says we're not going backwards. This is for 1 year. We can't recoup those
costs. This is for the $9 is for 1 year. And that gets you to the 33%. But if you
we're not capturing last year. That's what we were told. We're not going to recoup the loss.
We're not going to make up for that. But we have that much more cost this year. We subsidized last year.
We're not going to try and get that subsidized money back.
I understand. That's what I understand.
But in order to match our cost this year, we need the 529, which is 19% of the current cost, plus on the 385
that we should have been charging.
We should have been charging.
And that's how we come up with the 914.
Right.
I guess. But we're talking about a 33% increase in solid waste.
The math works.
Yeah, let's begin.
How do you move us to do the solid waste one and then work out the difference out if we didn't have solid waste for our increases? Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
It's a fixed cost.
It's
a good reason we're separating, right?
Yeah, right. The security and drainage separated out because what we're really having to increase is water, sewer, drainage.
Oh, yeah.
Water, sewer, and wastewater.
So this is just basically just transition.
The things we can
control. It's not 19%, it's 33%. Above what our current cost is.
Yeah. All in.
So yes. Yeah. It's 19%.
But then,
if you could save 15 cents, you'd be under 10%.
There you go.
So if we listed it out per can size, would that probably be a little bit more? I think you have to. There's a whole table of things. You know,
right.
Is that the plan, Paula?
Yes.
The per can size?
Correct. There are multiple charges with solid waste, not just the three can sizes.
Right.
We also have carts in excess. There's other fees associated with other things. So there is There are other things that we typically include with Prop 218 for solid waste, what it's currently charged individually versus what we're going to be charging for the new rates that Cal Waste sends us.
So this
will be broken out.
So what was proposed by Mr. Branson was a 19% overall increase in our revenues, but individuals may see more or less of that.
Correct.
What about that $1.48 he was talking about for the pickup?
Yeah, that's the 47 cents times 2. Or, I'm sorry, 74 cents times 2.
Yeah.
Right.
That's already in the context.
Right, so it would be removing. So, Michael, a question I have on a document you gave me, I don't know, a little while ago. It's a wastewater capital improvements project thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got in there, I think, $337,500. That's for a five-year rate study?
Yeah, let me see the document here. Yeah, this has been updated. We were trying to figure out how much to charge the wastewater and how much to charge the water.
Right.
We're looking at $225 for water, and we're going to look at, I think it's $175 for wastewater.
Okay, $175.
Yeah. And that's based on discussions we've had with HDR.
Got it.
SDOs.
Got it. So then, to Director Pohl's point, or I think it was Janko, if we pull out the rate study and the integrated water master plan studies, I come up with a total of around $312,000. Does that sound about right?
If we pull out what?
The rate study.
If we pull out the rate study.
Water master plan.
The integrated water master plan.
Yeah.
That's out of water, that would be like 425,000.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think Randy was suggesting, and I was just suggesting, we split it as one of them.
We split it. But if we're back on water, I have to ask. We were told that the current charges are $52.73, which is the base plus reserves.
Yes,
correct?
That's correct.
That does not include meter charges.
Correct. Right. It's not.
So if this is going to be presented as something that everyone thinks the percentage increases is so important, why would we not? John says there's an average on the last typical bill, right? Typical bill shows so many gallons you're going to pay at $30, and it's $30.94.
$30.94.
Why would you not take that and add it to the $52.73, and what we're really presenting as a percentage increase is practically nothing.
Randy?
That's important.
You follow me?
So you're saying if we add the average water use and then we recalculate the percentage, it looks like a much smaller percentage.
It's like half a percent.
It's like practically zero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's just the way that it was presented, you know, because we thought, let's go in with base rate, because base rate is predictable, and base rate is, it's basically predictable.
Well, that may have been one of our major communication problems in the past, because that's not how people think.
Yeah. It's 5%. That works for water, that doesn't work for sewer.
No, it doesn't. It does for granted. But if people care about how much am I going to pay, the average person is going to pay so much for the meter, and his total bill is going to be so much. Well, what increase do I have? And that's a big difference between 7 or 8% versus practically nothing.
Yeah, I mean that's very astute. And we could present. You know, we have no problem presenting the Prop 218 notice.
I don't know why you would.
Well, because there's going to be some people that use a lot more water or a lot less, and well, that's not.
But you got to look at this is a sample bill, and this is going to be in the package, right?
Mm-hmm. Are we doing sample bills?
We're doing the version of them.
Are we?
Yeah.
And so,
we weren't doing that.
So there you go. Total. This person's total bill is going to be $214.10. And we're going to add $4.11.
Maybe we're being too transparent.
Water is $84, but still $4.
It's 4.95%.
Yeah.
Yes, I will totally do that. And we probably will, boy.
Okay, so I'm going to try this one more time. Item 6B.
I have a chart.
You have a chart.
I built a chart.
Right.
That's 17%. I used 17%.
All right.
Oh, it's 17. Okay, good. All right, so that's right. And then I just used a 64 gallon cart rate for the average bill.
Thank you.
So I would further recommend, you see all these percentages down the right side? Do you have a copy of this?
Not handing down, but yes, I do have it on file.
Get rid of all this and just total water. Here's your 4.5% increase, total water. Mm-hmm. And forget breaking all of this. Breaking it down. Yeah. Same thing with sewer. Sewer is going to be 13%.
It is what it did.
So then we have no options on solid waste.
So
I think we're done. Just go down.
Okay. So Vanessa, walk us through your chart, please.
Okay. So I just downloaded the current accrued.
Paula, would you turn it just a skosh, which is a technical term? Right there. Thank you.
Is that the fire? Yeah.
Can I come over here?
Yeah.
I can't even see what I have. Okay. So I just basically downloaded your rate sheet from the website, and the current rate is listed there as your residential monthly rate. Then there's the CIP fee, which is the $14 you were talking about, is included in there. So when we net that out and we add the base rate increase, it's the $4.11. That's times the 10.6%. I think, Paul, if you move it to the formula, you can put it on cell D4, right? So that's your 10.6% increase. So overall, your rate's going to go, your rate on your invoice is going to go from 5273 to 5684. And then in variable rate, I don't have the variable because we didn't apply the rate increase to the variable portion, which only represents about 24%
right.
of revenue to the water fund.
Right.
Then sewer is 6026, total projected rate is 68.12, and that includes the 17.6% in sewer. But if you back that, you've got to net out the sewer CIP fee of 14 to get you to that net rate and then add in the increase, which is 786. The water treatment plant debt service fee is unchanged because the debt is not repaid yet fully.
Correct.
So that will drop off the bill eventually when it gets completely paid. Drainage tax is up by 2%, which is about 11-cent increase. Security is up by 2%, which is a 63-cent increase. So down below is the solid waste. That's your old cart rates, 2342, 2782, 4497. That's if you have one garbage can that changes. And that does not include the $2 surcharge, which will go up by another dollar.
And I think we need to include the organics in this, too.
And the organics needs to get included, right, which is a $4.59.
Yes.
Is it $4.59? I think you had a chart. But that's technically a mandated cost. You don't really have any
choice.
So you're going to add that $5.24 on whether or not you get a choice. So I don't know if you want to, in your Prop 218, if you say it's a mandated cost.
Yeah. Well, and I think we just have to appoint.
Yeah, she changed that. What did you change?
Okay. I
undid
it.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
So, you pulled it out. Okay.
That again.
So then using the total using the 65-gallon cart would be $183.89, so you go up to $205.74, not including that mandated cost. Did I add everything in correctly?
Yep.
So that. So if you do my percentage, if you do the total of 205 less the 183, this is an average customer account. Minus that $183.89, and then do the percentage equal to that over the $183.89, you're going to get to about a 12% increase.
I just don't think that the total is as important as the pieces. Because you can... It's all in the solid waste, really, is the thing, is what's skewing the percentages. And if you individually go on that sample bill, then you're going to get 4.5% on water and 13% on sewer.
solid waste doesn't include.
Sounds very reasonable to me.
The solid waste doesn't include the catch up for past years in that number.
Correct.
That's just Russ's number.
Right.
The dollar's not in there.
That's a dollar. You can add the $2 in there if you want.
Three.
A dollar.
It's a dollar change, so to go up by 1%. To be about 13.
Your current rate is what you're currently charging?
Yeah, that's current based on the rate schedule online. And that's residential. I didn't build a commercial.
So now I'm just walking through, Vanessa, on what our Prop 218 notice looks like. We should be able to pull out Assembly Bill 1384, I think, is the organic.
1383.
Okay, thank you. So we can just identify then those costs specifically to that assembly bill, and then we could work back just the cost of what it costs to tilt, right, and all those other things. At the end of the day, we don't have a choice. It's a pass-through process. Well, let me back up. Obviously, we do have a choice because the community said we're going to subsidize everybody's trash. So moving forward, we're not going to subsidize everybody's trash.
Does that mean we don't make their water as clean because we don't have enough money taken from the water treatment
plant? Clean is relative.
It's pure.
Okay, so I'll go down the line. I'll start with you. Any questions on what Vanessa just moved forward to us?
No, I think I get it.
Okay, Director Butler.
I get it too.
Okay.
I might not like it, but
I think I get it.
Okay. I like the thing, pardon. Director Bolt.
I understand.
Okay.
I think you need to put the right terminology in there, the water usage, because we charge based on the CCF, the 100 cubic.
Plus
$2.17. If you don't put the $30 in there from the current rate, then you're hurting yourself on the percentage. Because it's no change. It's a no change.
Well, I don't know what we're going to use this for, but I think we're squared away on what we want to do on the sample bill.
Yeah, it's going to look like
units based
on this is just a
rough. We got it.
Yeah, this explained the process. Okay. So where we're at is for item 6B, we have to give authorization to mail out a Prop 218 notice. When does this go out to the street?
This has to go out Wednesday.
Yes.
No later.
Not this Wednesday.
This Wednesday. No later than this Wednesday.
Right.
Is that based on when we... when we had this meeting, is that based?
Yeah, it's based on our meeting, the first budget meeting.
Yeah, we have to work backwards on that 45-day period.
Okay.
So notice 23 mailed out.
The notices are pretty much designed. We just need to drop the tables into them.
Correct.
And then, like, the final proof.
So this is three separate agendized items. You want to start with number one with the motion?
Well, and that's where I'm starting.
I was going to put all three together, but the more I think about it.
I think because if we do have discussion, I want to keep it to B, C, and D separately. So I'll make a motion. Well, hang on. Let me double check my numbers.
So the proposal is to add $4.11 for the monthly rate.
Right.
And all the rest of the stuff just fills in all the gaps.
Correct.
Basically. In the charts.
Correct. So for my edification, I'm at $23.83 all in total amount for these three categories.
Including the buck?
We got 23.11.
You have 2311? Okay. So let's do this.
That's not a real one. It's
2311.
And that includes the extra dollar?
How'd you get that?
411 plus 786 plus $9.14.
We need to separate solid waste from this because it's not going to be a $9.14 increase for everyone. Yeah.
Right. No, I understand.
Oh, right. That'll be in the motion. We should be doing this
right now. Right. But if I'm just adding the 411, the 786, the 914, my all-in is what, $18.50?
$21.11.
$21.11.
Plus the
dollar. So we're at $22.11.
It's $21.92.
Okay, so $22. Average, I understand. Okay, so that works out.
Okay. I hope nobody ever asks me to repeat this.
Oh, this is all filmed for posterity.
No.
Okay, so
I know
you
can get that
photographic memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're not.
So you're not adding not drainage. Okay,
drainage and security are
okay,
not.
Just that's why I was hired. Yeah, just the three here. Plus the dollar.
Because these are the only three we have influence over. And it appears item D, we're losing that influence. Solid waste, because of the assembly bill. Okay, I'm going to make a motion. My motion is that we authorize staff to do a Prop 218 notice for water utility rates at $4.11 a month.
Increase
on the base.
Also.
Okay. We have a second discussion. I'll start with you, Director Poole.
As long as your motion is clear that we go from $14 to $6.
Yes.
Current rates plus an additional.
Yeah, it's current rate plus the additional.
Okay.
Director Booth.
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Director Butler.
I get it.
Director Janko.
You know, one thing we kind of dropped here was the one-time cost of the studies,
but based on the percentage increase that we're coming up with here, and I'm not comfortable with just a 5% contingency, I like the $4.11.
Okay. And to that point, specifically, I had a sidebar with Director Booth. As we put property tax into reserves, we can give staff direction to pull out of reserves to pay for the two studies. So, we can work it backwards from that standpoint. So, Paula, I made a motion. We've had a second discussion. Roll call, please.
President Beebe.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Booth.
No.
Okay, item 6C. So if I understand 6C, it's a total of $7.86 to the current base rates.
Correct.
Yes.
Did we put that correction with regard to all the other charges in the ordinance? We only addressed the base rate. There's commercial rates, there's other rates. We know what we're doing with that.
It was just all base rates, right?
It's just base rates.
To keep it predictable.
So there's no changes to the other rates in those ordinances?
Yeah, there was no other rates that I saw that was intended to be changed as far as usage. So it's like one base rate for commercial.
Okay.
Going to be the base rate. Isn't that correct, Paula?
Yes. They're all the same.
The base rate for commercial is the same as
correct.
Residential.
Correct. Yeah.
John's raising his hand.
I mean, John.
Mike, do we need to add something for the CIA surcharge for the repair costs for the raw water customers?
You know, I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
Well, okay.
We don't know what our funding is going to be like yet for...
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to spend it on all this other stuff, so...
Right. Yeah, no, to be quite honest, John, we have not considered
that. Well, let's talk about it next week, because I don't think it has to be consistent with July 1, if there's a surcharge or something.
Yeah. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know the magnitude of how much raw water we actually do sell. I know we sell some, but you know, I don't know how much effect that would make.
Well, RMA is the effective part.
Yeah.
Okay.
My question been
answered. It got answered?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to make a motion 6C, which is to authorize staff to put a Prop 218 notice for the base rate for sewer utility rate increase, $7.86. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second. Open it up for discussions. Director Janko?
Well, only to say again, I'm not comfortable with 5% contingency, but I think this suffices for a bridge, so to speak, a bridge budget to get us to where we have more information. So I'm in favor.
Okay. Director Booth?
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Director Holt?
Nothing to add.
Okay. So I guess a question I would have, as we're moving forward and we have a 5% contingency, and I agree with you, it's not enough, but it might be something that staff gives a direction to physically start looking at some of those, backing those items out, and we fall to the reserves. If we have to fall that way, we're starting to deplete reserves at a higher rate, right? Mm-hmm. So now we've got it. What's that cost-benefit ratio? But I just think that through for a second as some direction will probably be given to staff to fine-tune before our next board meeting, or board meeting of 17.
I mean, the key to, you know, to having that contingency for unexpected events, those unexpected events are going to be happening with major infrastructure.
They're guaranteed.
And so in some ways, having a smaller contingency gives the board a little bit more power, if you will, to like, okay, we'll amend the budget because this
right.
happened. So there's these series of steps that need to go through. So having a contingency is convenient. We can move faster. So that's something that we can take a look at.
Okay, sure. Understand.
But the key is really to fund the reserves, mm-hmm. and that's where we're trying to
get to. And not
right.
defund them as fast as we're funding
right.
them.
Right, right. And we've seen that in this fiscal year. With a couple of issues. Okay, Paula, roll call vote, please.
President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
No.
Thank you. Item 6D. I'm not sure why I'm having heartburn over this one, and I don't know where the latitude... Well, I'll save all that. I'm going to make a motion to authorize staff to do a Prop 218 notice for solid waste utility rate increase base rates, $9.14. If I could have a second.
Don't you need 10.14 if you're going to cover the extra dollar for the county?
Oh, good call. Thank you. Thank you.
This is the one I'm going to vote yes on.
Oh, then I don't know how I'm voting. Because
we put two in, it needs three, so that's where the one, so that makes it 10, 14. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my motion is a rate increase of 10, 14 to the solid waste rate. Can I have a second?
Second.
I've had a second. I'll start down with you, Director Cole.
This rate was for the 65-gallon can. How many gallons in the other one?
Well, we're just demonstrating. Wait, I don't understand.
It's a good question.
Different rates for different cans.
How do you put that in the notice?
We'll separate it out. It'd be like the matrix that we typically send out with the Prop 218 notices.
And where does the 914 fall?
That would be the 65-gallon can. And
the most expensive or the...
That's the mid. So the 96-gallon, or it's now 95, that's the most expensive. And I believe that one's $59 now, and we are charging $44.97. So there's a $14 increase between those two.
So the direction you need would be 10-14 on the average rate and the equivalent on the other rates?
Yes.
Yes. That's well said, actually.
I would amend my motion to echo what Director Booth stated, and that was that we would have to amend the rate per the resident's can size.
There's a joke in there.
I know, and I'm leaving it alone. I'm not even making eye contact with
it. Totally ignore it.
I'm letting it go. Okay, so did your question get answered? Okay.
Are the can sizes different when they switch them out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you using the new can sizes?
Yes.
Yeah, the 65. It's currently 64, but I think it's going to a 65 and then 94 to a 95. Again, it's assembly belt that is driving all this.
So do we get to adjust for the gallon on the rating?
Yeah, right.
There you go. No.
Director
no.
I have nothing to add.
Director Butler?
My only addition to this is to make sure that when we send this out, that we explain in big letters, mm-hmm. we had no choice, you know, however you want to put it. Mm-hmm. This is what Assembly Bill blah, blah, blah says. And
that accounts for part of it. The other part is we're not subsidizing
right.
pickup anymore, and we have the increased cost of the contract. So
correct.
I assume all of those elements will go into the notice.
That's Yeah, I just think that you have to sort of separate it out and make sure that everybody understands. This is what's adding to the percent cost mm-hmm. as well as the dollar cost.
And this is exactly why I said earlier in the afternoon, I think it was critical to separate these three 218s.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Director Janko.
So, I don't know if how far you can go in making these statements to stay on the other side of advocating for something. So I'm assuming that council is going to look at whatever you come up with before it goes in the mail.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Mark, to that point, last year, council took exception with our Prop 218 verbiage, and we had to reissue. So I would say that would be an absolute for that, because we had extended the 2 weeks or whatever it took. So that addressed my question. So, Martin, I'm sorry.
We haven't voted on it yet.
No.
I have a question.
You want to ask a question before we vote?
No.
Okay. Randy, you're good?
Yep.
Okay. We've had a motion. It's been amended. Got a second. We've had discussion. A roll call vote, please.
President Beatty?
Aye.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Thank you.
reconfirming with everybody, scheduled budget hearing will be May 17th.
I don't know if we have a consensus on adding a sample bill to this this publication.
I thought we were going to have a sample bill.
Just short, so we have to take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Scheduled budget hearing is May 17th. And I want to say that's our regular.
That is our regular. The agenda says 6 p.m., but it should be 5 p.m.
Okay, thank you. And then if we have closed session, obviously we'll do the before that. So we're fine. Okay, on to item 7.
Do you need a motion for that? Or?
No, it's just a FYI for everybody. That's the next phase that we see. The next phase for the district is Wednesday. It's postmarked moving forward.
Yeah, and I may have mentioned previously, unfortunately, I will be out of the country on that date, but I will provide whatever input I think appropriate to staff before the meeting.
Does a week or two make any difference?
I'm out of the country the 17th through the 26th.
Okay. Because we're up against a timeline.
That's our 45 days, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can't do earlier.
We can do later.
And later.
And then depending on what's done there, our timeline. So an example being in June, our board meeting's the 21st. If, say, we push it back a week or two, then we could push it back to the week of the 26th to make decisions. So we'll have some dialogue offline on that. And if we need to modify for the budget purpose, then we'll figure that out.
Tim, if you get everybody in the loop, because I've got some things going on right about that time.
Okay.
So don't move in to the week where I'm gone.
Well, that's what I was trying to do.
Will we be able to see it at the Finance Committee meeting in May?
We would see the proposed budget in the Finance Committee, and then we would have the first reading in the May meeting. And then we would have to have the final reading and adoption 30 days later.
So I could provide some input on the second.
Yeah. And then if you would make note, Michael, when Amelia gets back, we do look at the May 17th meeting to potentially moving it back a week or two, probably two, if from what I'm hearing.
We have to find out, is there any meeting requirement that the two meetings are...
I am not aware of this one having... We're now, our next deadline is at the June adoption, and if something needs to change there, we have to get it done before the July 1 date. That's the only other timeline that I'm aware of. So we've got some
pretty close.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm not asking the board to move the meeting. I just won't be able to attend.
So I'll get with Amelia on that.
Yeah.
Has it changed the date?
Well, and that's what I'm looking at. Well,
could we make it the 16th or the 15th?
Well, I don't. That short.
We can't go earlier because we.
Yeah, I can't
the 45
go earlier.
Day.
Oh, okay. I can move it back, but the only not I. The district can move it back. The only other timeline I'm aware of is it has to be adopted in June, and then if there's anything done subsequent to that, we have to turn right around, get it done, adopt it before June 30th. Okay. Item number 7, a debrief on March 18th, Integrated Water Master Plan, Special Communications Committee. Michael.
All right. Thank you, Tim. I took comments from Director Butler and Director Booth and kind of culminated.